Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky's, the Muser, Bobby Orr's.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! Their school regulation size are what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some badness fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
What's up, buddy?
What's happening?
How are you?
Good, good.
Hey, thanks for letting me watch that game there. That was you're one hell of a Canadian.
Well, hey, I just tried to help you out, man.
Yeah, it's funny though. When I was having Danny Probert on there, I said, "Well, let's record Friday." And she goes, "Well, you know, Winnipeg and Nashville were playing at like 8 o'clock." When they say, like, Canada, you know, you guys are hockey crazy, like, everybody's watching, like, pretty much every game, even if, you know, it doesn't – even if it's just on the TV, they're still on.
Oh, yeah. Are we recording right now?
Dude, you know how I do it with you. You're on.
we're recording. Well, you just, like – I just keep talking, and away we go, eh?
I only do that with you. I'm Biscuit Babies. I'm here with fourth line voice Southpaw.
Okay, now
we're rolling. Now we're ready. I'm glad you have that queued up. Was that for the Frasier?
Oh, goddamn, I've had it queued up for 2 friggin' hours.
Was that for the Frasier fight?
I don't know. I think that was just from the movie with Will Smith. That's all I know.
Oh, that's not even Muhammad Ali. That's fucking Will Smith?
I believe it is.
Well, goddamn. I think that makes me racist. I thought that was Muhammad Ali. Well, shit, bud. We're here to... to do one thing, and that's to celebrate Mr. Eric Lindros. But before we get into that, we need to I'm sure you got a few punches at Big Rand, who was recently fired today again for the third time, I think it is.
Well, Big Rand, yeah, the Bob Azumi of Sturgis, Michigan. Yeah. he just couldn't find time to that's the problem though. He kept loitering around the fucking Jiffy Lube parking lot trying to steal the Wi-Fi, and they told him to beat it. So no Big Rand once again. Now, I was looking back. This is the fifth time I've been on your show.
Yeah, yeah.
And Big Rand's 0-5.
Right?
That's a hell of a batting average, Big Rand.
At this point, it's pure disrespect.
It is. And, you know?
And the funny thing is, you know, him and his amateur fishing angling he has going on. He actually was on the lake today. But, I mean, obviously he's not out there fishing still. He's just...
I asked him if he's putting the shanty up still. Don't drown, Big Ram. Yep.
I think he just moves it to the shore and just sleeps in there and gets ready to go out again.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Well, now he's moving shanties. I think he's going from Sturgis to even a more podunk town in Michigan. So I'm excited to see what that place is. I think it's...
He's moving?
I'm pretty sure that's what we're...
Also, they're going to have to get the chalk out and erase the population sign in Sturgis.
Yeah. From 8 to fucking 3 now.
He took the wife out on the town. Took 6 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Main Street's got 2 dead ends. Yeah, that's the Sturgis, Michigan. Yeah.
Well, how you been, man?
Not too bad. No, I was actually, it was funny. I went back and I was kind of looking at your, man, you're a man of the people. I'm telling you, you got Riley Cote on. It was, with the, with the marijuana talk. It was like, you know, watching a Cheech and Chong movie.
Yeah.
And then we had Danny Probert on, and then we had Quan on with the Black Ice, or no, pardon me, Soul on Ice.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, you're just, you've got your, you got your fingerprints all over this. You enjoy all the meats, the cultural stew.
I sure do, buddy. And I think most people do too. And if not, at least all those people are very interesting.
I was telling the listeners that we're still left, that we're going to be drinking from left to right on the radio dial. So tune on in.
No, what we were talking about, though, I said, you know, I wanted to get Riley on not only because he was a badass and enforcer, but to that what he's doing with marijuana and CBD and everything, you know, seems to be
helpful. No, absolutely. I was just joking. That,
oh,
no,
yeah.
What he's doing is, you know, that's...
Getting that...
It's great.
Getting anybody off the opioids is, I mean, that's key. Because it's really destroying people's lives. But yeah, if you went through and looked at it, you'd be like, man, this is one cultured motherfucker. Until you start diving into, like, well, let's listen to the Southpaw episode. And then it's just, you know, like you said earlier, Labatt's and profanity.
Oh, yeah. Like somebody looks and it's like, oh, he's had this jack off on five times. Yeah. So we're going to, but let all the people know if we got new listeners here. Who's number one in the download, in the Biscuit download rankings?
Download champ still.
See?
And still reigning and defending Southpaw. Fourth line boys. I'm pretty sure if this is the fifth one, you have three in the top five. One just dropped out of the top five recently, but still you have three or four of your appearances in the top five, which is pretty remarkable. That speaks a lot for your specifically, I think, your fan base. They really do follow and really support you there.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody's lack of taste. So
it's been working out.
I hang out with a better class of losers, I'm telling you. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to get a hold of you and do this. It's something I want to try to introduce as they start, you know, putting some of the guys in the rafters that I grew up, you know, watching, just to kind of shine a light on them and do what I'm referring to as a rafter special. But earlier this season on January 18th, the big old 8-8 was sent up there in Philly, you know, Eric Lindros in the rafters, and a short career for Philly, but an important one. And I know you, I mean, for me, I remember him probably a couple years into Philly because I was still a young kid when he was drafted. But for me, as you get the video game and he was just a fucking well, this guy's 6'4", 240, and just as fast as the other guys, and just a power forward to the T. And really almost issued in a whole new era of hockey, if correct me if I'm wrong.
No, he was unbelievable. Well, to this day, there hasn't been anybody to this day that was Eric Lindros.
Isn't that incredible?
And people can, oh, he was an asshole and fuck him and, you know, and they shit on him and you can, whatever you personally think of him, but there's no denying. Like when you there hasn't been before or since been anybody like him. Now there is people that do other things better than him,
right?
But in terms of the complete package,
that's the key with Eric Lindros. I mean, like you said, anybody people might be able to score goals better or hit better, but nobody was all that into one thing. And I think a lot of people soured on him after the Quebec thing. And, you know, as the story goes, for anybody that's been living under a rock or if you're in Sturgis, Michigan, he was drafted number one to Quebec. But the story says that he told the owner of Quebec that he's like, hey, listen, man, if you draft me, I'm not coming there to play. He's quoted as saying, like, they had a lack of winning spirit. I don't want to play in the city. It's isolated. The marketing potential. Something about the French character he wasn't into either. And the owner at the time was just like, listen, dude, I'm going to draft you, and that's the way it's going to be. And you can see his face when they call him. He was just like kind of smirked, like, oh shit, here we go.
Well, for one, I mean, that was actually the best thing Quebec ever did was to take him.
Yeah.
I mean, they knew he wasn't going to play there, but I mean, the trade obviously, you know.
Yeah, worked out all well. Pretty all right with him.
It did. I don't think it was, you know, everybody started to talk like that was the beginning of the Avalanche dynasty or something. And it's like, if you look at it closer.
Kind of, but not
what everybody's. Before we get to that, we're jumping ahead.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay, or am I moving around too much?
Well, you're moving around a fuck ton. What are you doing? Opening cards?
It's funny. I have actually a bunch of them stacked up here. No, I keep moving the microphone. I was changing on the. I keep pulling on the cord here. I'm kind of like a bunch of beer in. I was waiting for you, so I kept drinking. And,
well, that's what happened.
I think I'm literally just cracked number 9, I think. So.
Hell yeah. Well, that's what happened. Was it last Saturday I told you we'd podcast, and I think I sent you a picture. It was like 11 in the morning, and I was already cruising. By the end of the day, I was fucking in a kiddie pool, just a disaster. The neighbors built a fence because of that day.
Oh, I could tell. Oh, you're going to be the guy. Well, we're going to see on CNN one of these days. There's going to be an incident in Ohio with the neighbors. No, I know. I don't even have Instagram, but for some reason I saw your Instagram picture, and yeah, it was like 1:15. And I showed the wife. I said, well, we may as well go. Because there ain't shit happening. Yeah. And I sent you like a private message, and like I heard from you 3 days later. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I got a little worried last night, too, because my older brother just moved back from Kentucky, and we started fucking crushing beers last night, and I was like, oh, shit. But I knew, I was like, I want a podcast tomorrow, you know, with Fourth Line Voice, so I only bought a 12-pack so I could keep it, get to the point, and then just shut her down.
Well, it was funny because it was like, well, last Saturday, yeah, Buddy was in town, and I haven't seen him for a while, but I was kind of weird bullshit. And I said, yeah, I'll come out to your, he was just over at his mom's farm. He's out of town, just on the edge of town. And I'm like, yeah, I'll head out. We'll grab some beers. The wife and I will head out. But I was like, oh, I got some hockey cards too. And he was kind of like, hockey cards? Like, well, what are we going to do with hockey cards? Like, they're from 1991. He's like, oh, fuck yeah, bring them. You know? So we're like the two fucking losers over in the corner opening these cards, and we're laughing at Peter Klima and his helmet and shit. We're like, oh.
Is Klima the dude with that bucket?
Yeah, it looks like a flower pot. Yeah.
Did they only make one of those? And how is he the only dude that had it?
Well, like I put the picture up, and I sent a direct message that was Christian Rutu. Now, Rutu had the same helmet, and the Buffalo guy, and I sent a direct message to Brad Bay. I was like, how do the boys let him out of the room with this? Like, seriously, like, do you just look at him and just be like, hey, like, what the fuck, man?
Right.
Like, what are you doing?
I'm like, dude, I'm not going to play with you. I cannot play with you if you got that fucking thing on your head, man.
No, I'd be running him. I'm like, how do you not run this guy just for wearing that bucket? That's horrendous. No, but me and Buddy there, yeah, we were throwing hockey cards around and shit. Oh, yeah, it was great. Because, I mean, you pull up these guys from the 90s, that's like right in our wheelhouse, right?
Right.
So, oh, yeah, we had stories and shit. No, it was great.
Yeah, that sounds like a blast. I got real sad. I went to the one place that sells hockey cards in my community, and I guess I bought the last pack for the year. Because so they won't order any more until fucking Connor McDavid comes back for training camp next year. So that's sad.
Yeah, see, like, that's, like, yeah, like, here it's, like, that friggin' Dollarama sells them.
Oh, yeah, you guys go to fucking Tim's in the morning and you get a free pack of cards just for showing up.
Yeah, that was that promo. Yeah, and then, well, for the longest time, McDonald's used to do cards, too.
Hey, did you see that girl who shit on the floor at that Tim Hortons in Canada?
And she threw it at him. Yeah.
What? I didn't know you guys got down like that in Canada.
Oh, shit. You got to see the Tim Hortons over in the hood here. God. Oh, shit. All the boys, like, when they're on coffee break, they go park in the parking lot, and it's just like a reality show. And it's just, Oh, yeah, it's just a shit show.
Yeah. Was that over
like, near... Like, you go into the Tim Hortons bathroom in there, and, like, it's, like, the blue light, so you can't do the heroin and shit in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the first time, like, you know, a little, you know, Saskatoon that all of a sudden we got this shit going on. Oh,
yeah. We had, I was working third shift in Cleveland. I had lived up there for about a year, and I, you know, I'm from a town of 2,000 people, and I moved to Cleveland, and so I'm in there, and they're like, "Oh, you got to go clean the bathroom." And I guess some prostitute was in there pulling tricks because there was dude juice all over the wall, needles in the bathroom. And I came out, and I said, "If you think I'm going to do this for what you're paying me, I can turn in my apron right now. I'm not cooking eggs for anybody. I will not touch that. I'm done." So I got a taste of the city real quick. That was my first night.
When they start handing you the rain slicker and rubber boots, it's time to pack it in.
Yeah. Yep. I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this.
No, like we as a state school kids.
Yeah. So you probably remember very well, him being Eric Lindros, you know, being in Oshawa and starting that domination very early in junior. Because if you look back at his junior years, it looks like he was created in a lab. He's three times the size of anybody out there on the ice, and he's doing literally whatever the fuck he wants to.
Well, see, that was the unbelievable thing, like, right at the start here. Okay, for all the youngsters listening, okay, I'm going to come sit under the learning tree. I'm going to tell you a story here. Okay, so, like, back in the early 90s, well, there was no – obviously, there was no internet, and there was no – like, you didn't get Oshawa General games on TV. So this guy was like the myth, right?
Right.
Like you'd read the hockey news, and that's all they would talk about. And they had his pictures and everything, and like TSN on their sports desk, they'd do a feature on him. But other than that, it was like, okay, well then all of a sudden the World Juniors were coming to Saskatoon here, and he was on the World Junior team. So of course we're just getting pumped, right? Because it's like, here's our chance to finally see this guy.
Yeah.
So he shows up into town. And the Team Canada, that was like a really – that was an awesome team that year. And it was like in the local paper, of course, they have like the profiles of each guy and stuff, right? So because other than the WHL guys, like no, we didn't know who the OHL and the Quebec League guys were on the team.
Right. Yeah, like you said, there was no internet.
There's no TV. You don't know these people.
Right.
Like, it's a complete, like, it's for anybody that's, like, under 25, they don't understand. Like, it was a completely different world back then.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, you were cut off. Yeah, and there was no, like I said, you had never seen these people before. You had read their statistics. Oh, and there's their picture. Okay. Because, like I said, I'm going through the profile, Buddy and I, and all of a sudden, like, the one guy, Brad May, was on the team.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, so we look at this guy, and, well, he has 309 penalty minutes. Like, well, I don't know who this motherfucker is, but he's my favorite player already.
Right.
You know? Because here's this wild dude from, like, Niagara Falls in the Ontario League, right? Because, again, we're out west, so we don't see the Ontario guys. So it actually was funny. We ended up bumping into, like, Brad May, because he didn't play all the games. So we ended up running into him on the concourse. He was, like, cool as shit, too, talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, because I think, what would be the age difference? I guess it would be, they'd be 3 years older than we were.
Oh, so, yeah, you guys were, like, basically.
So, well, 90, like, they were here in 91, so I would have been 14.
Right.
Yeah. So Lindros would have been, like, 18, 17 or 18. Yeah, because they're, like, 3 or 4 years older than I am. So, but, yeah, like, but it seemed like they were, like, grown men compared to us for
right.
some reason. I don't,
right.
It was kind of strange. But talking to May was really cool. And it was funny to get sidetrack again, but like I said, Nine Beer will do this.
Yeah,
bear with me. But well, I ended up getting on Twitter and Brad May and I follow each other. So we were talking in DM one time, and I got to tell him the story about how we had, like, a 15-minute conversation in, like, the concourse at Sass Place when he was at the World Juniors.
Oh,
you know, it was just kind of cool to talk to him and tell him that story, and he was laughing about it and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
That's badass.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Well, and he was like an animal when he played too. Like he just like I was like because my dad managed to wrangle up a few tickets. So I what did we see? Three games? Must have seen three Canada games.
May was just
an animal, just like running all the Russians and shit. It was awesome.
How incredible is that? I mean, that's kind of all, you know, they say the bucket list. I really would like to go to a World Junior Championship. Is it too much hockey at one point? Or, I mean, if you were 14, you were probably just soaking it up like a sponge. It's really just like an incredible event, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was and that's the thing. I mean, like, I had no interest going to see Finland play Norway.
Right.
Like that would be, yeah, who gives a shit?
Right.
Know? And a lot of times around here, they would kind of, they would give the smaller communities those games.
Okay.
Well, because, I mean, you're not going to get 10,000 people at Sass Place to see Finland versus Norway.
Right.
To kind no matter of... how much the media likes to portray that, oh, the skills, come out and see it. They're just tremendous.
Yeah.
No one gives a shit.
Well, that's where Buffalo fell short this year because they had them playing in that huge arena. And then when it comes time for, like you said, Finland versus Sweden, there's 200 people there in this fucking giant stadium. And it makes it look really bad. And it makes it look... I know it's amateur, but it makes it look like impossible to be a fan of. You're like, why is there fucking 10 people in the crowd? And then
well, that's the thing. I mean, like the players, obviously they're great players and everything else.
Right.
But goddamn, that shit's like watching grass grow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the hilarious thing, well, I'm going to go with Tyre. I won't go on a tirade, but the hilarious thing is like the way the media talks, they think that's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah.
It's like the media wants that to be the NHL.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, look how skilled the European game is. And that's what – oh, I can remember growing up because, like, I mean, back then in the World Juniors, like, Canada dominated.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know how many gold medals they won in a row, but it was ridiculous.
Isn't it? It was over 15, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember. But it was like – but the thing was, and this is – and back then, it's not only did they win – but they, like, knocked the shit out of teams, too.
Yeah.
Like, they were always the most physical, and they pummeled teams, and that's how they won. They just pummeled teams. Well, but even when they would win the gold medal, you can ask anybody in Canada that followed it, the media would still cry. Oh, yeah, well, we just win because we're thugs, and we don't have the skill level of the Europeans, and blah. Well, who won, motherfucker?
Well, no wonder like, Don Cherry hates fucking Europe.
Who's got the gold medal? That the media would cry that, oh, our skills are so far behind them. We should take a page out of the Russians' book. Meanwhile, the Russians finished fifth.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's who you should take the – who won? It's just ridiculous.
There's always that weird hard-on for how the Russians play. Even when they lose, like, well, they lost as a collective unit. Like, dude, lick my sack. Like, come on. You lost. You got fifth fucking place. Yeah. Fucking
yeah, well, and then you see as Hockey Canada's gone on, because all of a sudden, as soon as Canada didn't win, the one year they didn't win, oh, shit, that summit meeting and Hockey Canada got everybody together. Oh, we got to start getting more skill-based and blah, 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 and enough of the physical shit. And look what happened. You played right into the Europeans' hands. You changed the game to fit them.
Yeah, yeah.
And now look again, Canada's playing catch-up.
Yep.
Look, they don't win anymore. When was – well, why? Because you changed the rules. Well, there you go.
So you're at
– anyway.
You're at the juniors in 91, and Eric, you get to see Eric Lindros play finally with your own eyes, not
– yes.
And it's,
oh, and it's just ridiculous. Like, it's like you see this guy, and he's like looks like a man amongst boys. Well, he was.
Yeah.
And it was just like, and it was funny because you'd kind of watch him play for a little bit and he wouldn't really do much. He'd kind of just sort of float around and it was like, okay. But all of a sudden he would get this burst and he would just go. And I'm sure everyone's watched a million highlight videos of him and stuff. And it's really weird. He's got them long, he's kind of got that choppy stride,
mm-hmm.
but he's just like flying and he's so friggin' big.
It's weird to watch him skate because of how big he is and how he's got that extra gear if he needs to where he'll get past you. He'll just get a stride ahead of you if he wants to.
Yeah, that's always the thing, especially in hockey. And the scouts will always say this, and it's true. Anybody that's like really big and lanky looks really ugly when they skate.
Yeah.
Like Chara looks awful.
Chara, you know? Yeah, he's a goddamn gangle creature, man. But
yeah, well, he looks like Bambi on ice a little bit, but he's not. Like, he can fly.
Yeah.
But they just look really awkward. And Lindros kind of looked like that. Like, he didn't really look smooth. He looks choppy, but he's flying.
Oh, yeah.
I always said, though, it's funny. The only big, really big, big guy that I ever saw that looked really smooth when he skated was Steve McIntyre, which was really weird. Anyway.
Old Mackie.
Oh, but the big goon, yeah.
Old Mackie.
Big Mac at 6'6", man. I tell you, if anybody, ask anybody, watch him skate, he was smooth as shit, man, for a guy 6'6".
Whitney was telling a story. I guess he went to high school with McIntyre. And when he was a freshman, he was like, you know, trying to make the senior squad, the varsity squad, and McIntyre walked over to him and said, "Hey, Whit, you didn't make the team." And he had made the team. He was just fucking with him. But I thought that was a funny story. Like, just all the dudes that ended up fighting and, you know, making their way into the league, they all had the best personalities. I'll say it. I know I say it a lot, but I'm saying it again.
Oh, yeah. Like, McIntyre is like the nicest guy ever. Yeah. Oh, I've known Steve McIntyre since he was 14.
No shit. Yeah.
Oh, he's from here. Yeah.
He's from Sask?
Yeah.
Well, isn't everybody?
Well, he played midget here, AAA midget with the Contacts, and then he played with the Saskatoon Blades. Oh, yeah. He's, yeah, and actually, he lost his job to Hordachuk, actually, and then they traded him to Prince Albert.
When they draft up there for juniors, is it like provincially? Like, are they trying to keep kids from Ontario in the OHL, or is it not? Or was it more like that back then, and it's kind of open range now?
No, you have to be from Western Canada.
Oh, so if you're playing in the Dub,
No, it's the Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC, Manitoba.
I guess that makes sense to not pull the kids too far away from where they're from.
Well, but they can go down to the States and try cities in Portland, right?
Yeah.
And what's the other team? Everett. And, so there's a couple of few American teams. So, yeah, you can end up going a long way. But, it's a lot of the junior, well, like I said, I grew up with the one guy they don't anymore. They sold it, but they used to own a WHL team. So that's why I used to get all the inside dirt and shit, because he'd be at, like, league meetings and stuff, right?
Wow.
He would always tell me they never really wanted to take locals because it's just nothing but headaches, right?
Yeah, because you'd get like the aunt calling in and be like, "Why isn't Perry playing more?"
Well, they're there, right?
Yeah.
Well, that thing, junior hockey's so greasy, right? It's like, you know, things are a lot more transparent now with social media and everything else and blah, blah, blah. But back in the day, there's some greasy stories. I can remember being at Blades camp, because I would sit with him and we were watching. I can remember when Hordachuk showed up at Blades camp and he was just this unknown kid, but he ran around like a super ball, hitting everybody and like fighting, because back then it was fight, pick up your shit and keep playing, fight, pick up your shit, keep, you know, it was just constant. And I'm looking at Buddy here and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy, you know? And he's like, he's making the team, because they were really soft at the time. They're like, oh yeah, he's making the team. Hordachuk was awesome when he played for the Blades. He was great, nice guy too.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But McIntyre, yeah, he was great. But anyway, that's for another show. We're talking about Eric Lindros. I'm getting off topic here. We're rambling.
Eric Lindros. So they didn't win gold that year, did they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they did. So, yeah. And then.
But it was just like ridiculous. And like I said, he would you kind of float around, and then all of a sudden it was like he got shot out of a cannon. And it was, but the biggest thing, it was, yeah, like, he had the soft hands, and he could score and shit, but he could hit, just the way he hit guys.
Ugh.
And it was just like, he'd just go through them. Like, it was ridiculous how he'd hit people, and they'd, like, bounce off him. I don't know, even when you watched highlights, even when he got to the NHL, it was like that.
You could never say he didn't finish a check, that's for goddamn sure. He was finished. Oh. He would. I mean, his hip check was beautiful. His on the board check was beautiful. And if you tried to hit him, you're biting toast. You're done. He was a fucking monster.
Oh, it was ridiculous. There hasn't been anybody that hit like him. Like, it was just Like, I know the role of Scott Stevens and all that stuff. Defense is a little different. But, like, he had Wendell Clark. Like, Wendell Clark tried to hit like that.
Yeah.
And Cam Neely and guys. And they did. I mean, they were real physical and knocked the shit out of guys, too. But, I mean, compared to Wendell Clark, I mean, Lindros had, what, 7 more inches and probably 70 more pounds?
Right.
You know, and he's hitting the same way. And, like, even Barnaby would sit on his podcast when he's talking about Lindros. He goes, it was like getting hit with a tidal wave when he hit you. He goes, it was just ridiculous. Oh, Barnaby to this day says, like, if God created a hockey player, it was Eric Lindros.
Yeah, how beautiful is that? That's Barnaby, he's a gem. God, you got to love that guy.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, and he's right. It's like you can't argue. Like,
he is.
Like I said, he could do everything. He could score.
And just think about, like, the tweet you put out earlier today. You know, like, we're going to talk about Eric Lindros. And you scroll down in some of the comments and people are like, God, like, he was this unicorn. Or he's still, you know, still my favorite player to this day. Like, the mark he left on people with the way he played and how just fucking dominant he was. And he filled the hype, you know, for plenty of years, you know, because a lot of people can get hyped up and not follow through. He delivered and plus some, really.
Yeah, well, and especially in hockey, because there's, you know, every couple, like every 10 years or so, there's like the next one, right?
Right.
Because we had Gretzky, and I mean, I was too young for the Gretzky hype.
Right.
Then they had Lemieux, same thing. I was like, you know, I would have been like 9 years old, so again. But again, this is like no social media or anything back then, right?
Right.
So we had never heard of Mario Lemieux because he was a Quebec guy. So we just, he went first overall. And I don't even know if the draft was on TV back then. I can't remember. But then my generation, it was Lindros. So like I said, the hype that came in Saskatoon with this guy, like I said, for a week before the tournament got here, every front page of the sports page every day was Lindros, the Lindros watch, and that's all they talked about. So yeah, so when you finally saw him, and then it was like, oh shit, like, and he totally lived up to the hype and then some, because we had like I said, to this day, haven't seen anything like him. But yeah, to see him in person at that, it was so impressionable at that age. It was like, holy shit, like, this guy, he's gonna dominate.
Yeah.
So of course, then you watch the draft and it's like, obviously he's going first.
So nobody – was it known at the time that he didn't want to go there, or was everybody just going, oh, Lindros is going first, and then everybody found out the bullshit around it?
No, he told Quebec from the get-go, like, if you take me, I'm not playing for you.
And what, TSN and everybody reported on that too?
Everybody knew.
Really? Yeah.
And it was funny because I was – well, because in anticipation for this, because this was like 91, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so this is – you know, we're going on how many years ago?
I can't do almost, that kind of math,
almost
man.
30 years ago, right?
Right, right.
So I had to go back and, like, watch all these documentaries and read shit to try to remember it all. But getting my mind jogged. But, he told him he wasn't going to play. Well, he didn't like that Abu, Marcel Abu. He didn't like the owner. So it had really nothing to do. Like, he goes, like, in the what he talks about now, he goes, it's not like I had anything against the French people. Well, yeah, everybody said, he hates the French and all this. Oh, no, he hated the owner.
Who just happened to be French-Canadian.
Yeah, but it's like, but he just, you know, he goes, he was kind of greasy. And it was like, well, that, and if you went, and at the time, in the early 90s, I mean, that was the big thing in Canada. And to this day, I mean, if you have French people listening, I don't mean to sound it this way, but the rest of Canada hates Quebec. Well, they do. It's like, I don't hate all the people of Quebec. Well, but I can tell you I've had issues with people, the French people, with that Quebec League when I was kind of helping them out. They owe me money, I can tell you that. I don't like dealing with them assholes. You know, the ones I deal with, I didn't really like too much because they stick me on a bunch of money. But at the time, Quebec really wanted to separate from Canada. That was a huge issue up here.
Really?
Quebec wanted to be its own separate deal.
Their own country?
Yeah, they wanted to separate from Canada. It was a huge thing. Now, again, it was like the vocal minority wanted to, and obviously cooler heads prevailed, and it was like, okay, no, we're not going to do that.
So they're like California, because nobody likes California here. So it's like the same, and they're trying to defect, so it's like the same fucking thing.
Kind of, yeah. But it's like, that's the thing. And there's always the divide, you know. And so when you go to Quebec, like, everything's in French.
Yeah, street signs, everything.
I've never been to Quebec, so I don't know. But I've talked to friends, and they, like, it's relaxed over the years. Like, you go now, there's a lot more English and shit. But back then, and again, I'm just going from the English perspective. I mean, obviously, there's a French perspective as well. Two sides to every story, right?
Yeah.
But I have friends that went there and got treated like shit, and it was ignorant, and, you know, the French would treat you like shit if you were English. Oh, just an English pig, like the goalie in Slapshot. how he talks, oh, you're just some English pig. Well, that's true. That's how they thought of you, and that's how the English and the French thought of each other.
See, I never knew there was that divide. So that makes more sense to where he would be like, I don't want to fucking go there.
Well, he's an Ontario guy, so it's right next to Quebec, so he's well aware. Like, we're out west, so we're kind of separated from it all, but he's right there in Ontario growing up there.
Yeah.
So it's because he's an Ontario guy, obviously. So, yeah, but he even said, obviously, he has nothing against the French because his wife's French now, so it wasn't that. But he goes, the thing is, back then, you go to Quebec, you're a young guy, there's no endorsements, you go to Quebec, you may as well, you know,
kiss a goodbye.
That's like the equivalent of playing for Arizona nowadays, right? No one knows you're alive. And you could be in the – that's like going to the witness reprotection program.
Right. And Lindros grew up, you know, watching Gretzky. So he was a part of a group of guys that knew, like, oh, I can become a star playing hockey. I can make a lot of money playing hockey. I could – you know, Wayne Gretzky had fucking cereal and all this. So maybe he had that kind of mindset too. I don't know for sure. I mean, that's the perception that's given off, is he's this – frosted, you know, tipped fuck, like, who refused to play. But you're like, I mean, come on. You get one chance to play. Why not try to get the most amount of money? And if you don't want to go play somewhere, you have that right, in my opinion. And if you can't work out a deal, so be it. I mean, it's not like Quebec was left with zero. And if he said, I'm not going to go play there, then don't draft him. I mean, maybe, or draft him and trade him like they did, you know, a year later.
Yeah, well, that was the smartest thing they did. But that was the big thing, like I said, back then. And it used to piss me off because Montreal did this a lot. They draft like the Western guys.
Yeah.
And just screw them over. And it was like, oh, they're English, so they're not going to play them. Like, Terry Ryan, Turner Stevenson, Brad Brown, Aaron Asham, on and on. They would take these guys and, like, just – like, Ryan and Brown and all these guys were, like, high-end first picks. And it was just, like, they just run it. The French would just run them out of town because they, you know.
Is Terry Ryan the fucking prime minister up there yet?
He should be.
Goddamn, yeah. Right, he should be.
Anybody listening, if you haven't read it, Tales of a First Round Nothing, get that book. It is awesome.
It's a must read.
Get a hold of Terry Ryan on Twitter and buy it directly from him. He'll autograph it for you and shit. He's active on Twitter all the time.
Why don't you fucking – I bought it off Amazon.
I told you to buy it off Terry. I told everybody to buy it off Terry Ryan.
So I'll buy another copy and give this one to – I don't know if Big Rand can read, actually.
That's got some pictures in it and shit.
he can put it in the fucking fish shanty and pretend, you know, be like, oh, yeah, that's my book.
Oh yeah, it's a great book. Terry Ryan, he's awesome. Like, you talk about a storyteller. Oh yeah, and if you ever go on he'll post videos and shit, like, because his old man played in the WHA and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Terry Ryan Senior. Oh, and they're out in the Maritimes there in Mount Pearl, Newfoundland and shit. And downstairs is just a hockey shrine. They got jerseys and sticks and all that shit. Because that's the one thing. Terry Ryan was one of the few guys who saved lots of shit. So he's got tons of memorabilia, pictures and everything else.
Oh, that's awesome.
But, oh, yeah, he gets the boys downstairs, and they start dieseling some whiskeys and some beers. And Terry will throw on the old video and start recording Terry Sr. telling stories. Oh, greatest thing. Oh, they got Ilya Frady down there. Terry Sr. is just laying it on him. Oh, yeah.
Probably got a fucking bubble hockey machine and all that down there, just getting in it.
That would be the greatest thing ever to go. Like Terry keeps telling me, I have like a standing invitation to go to Newfoundland and hang out at Senior's house in the basement, and hear stories all night, and get drunk.
I kind of want to take a holiday up there. They just got a. I don't know what league it is. Would that be an Ontario Hockey League that they have a new team called the Growlers? And I want to go to Newfoundland, and it'd be cool to see a hockey game up there too. So maybe I'll hit Terry Ryan.
That's an East Coast League team. That's the Vegas Knights farm team.
You're fucking right. It is the East Coast Hockey League.
Yeah,
that's badass, man. They deserve to have a team up there.
Oh, they go through teams and here and there and everywhere. But yeah, I've always wanted to get out to Atlantic Canada, out to the Maritimes. It's so goddamn expensive, though. But it's supposed to be just awesome out there.
How the fuck do you say it? It's not Newfoundland, right?
Newfoundland.
But why is it spelled like it is?
Newfoundland?
Yeah. Why is it spelled like and then pronounced differently?
Newfoundland?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, what do you fucking, what do you mean you don't know?
Well, I know what you mean. How you're not, it's, what's the word I'm looking, not hyping it. Goddamn, where's Manatee? He could figure all this shit out with his big school words. You're asking a guy that's now 11 beer in why Newfoundland is not pronounced that way. Well, I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Newfoundland? I don't know if they said the way Canadians just say it, Newfoundland.
See,
it was funny when I went down to Vegas and I'm talking to these people, they look at me and they go, oh, you're obviously from Canada. I can hear it in your accent. I'm like, what accent? I didn't know I had one. Do I have one? I don't know.
Before I started the podcast with Danny, she goes, where are you from? I was like, I'm from Ohio. She's like, no, that's not. You're not. No, you're not. You have an accent. I was like, I mean, I am. I promise I'm from Ohio. She's like, well, you have something weird about your. I think I was like, oh, it's just, you know, I drank too many beers. I think it's destroyed my tongue or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was all the chewing. Maybe it screwed me up, screwed my mouth up. I don't know.
Were you
all
a dipper?
The chewing tobacco's wrecked my gums and shit. I don't know.
Were you a can dipper or chaw?
Skull.
Skull. Jesus Christ.
I was brutal. I chewed for like 20 years. Well, it came off the ball diamond, right? I started in baseball when I was like 15. It just ended up coming off the baseball diamond with me. Shit, I think I ended up chewing for what, almost 25 years?
Fuck me. When I was little, Manny Ramirez was playing for the Indians, and he would wrap his chaw and bubble gum and chew on it. So we were doing that in like fifth, sixth grade, thinking we're Manny Ramirez. There's kids puking in the fucking like dugout and stuff.
Oh yeah!
Steal your grandpa's Redman. We'll get the bubble tape, and we'll big league chew.
Yeah, you stretch it out and then wrap it up. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that'll turn you off of chewing real quick though. That first bubble gum chaw puke.
Oh, I quit cold turkey. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah.
So we're getting, we got it.
This episode is like completely gone off the rails.
If Lindros listens, like he sees and goes, oh, that's really nice. They did it. He's going to be so fucking disappointed. But
we're getting blocked on Twitter for sure. If he hears this, you got to 1,000 subs, man. I was all pumped for you. Fuck, you're going to be back to about 950 after this episode.
I'll get on tomorrow. We'll be about 950. But yeah, thank you to everybody. I'm over 1,000 followers. It means a lot to me. I'm glad everybody's enjoying the show. And guys like you and All Beard No Teeth and Shane Guilfoyle there, you know, have really helped the show out and push it and come on when I need, you know, guests and really just kill it. And it's been a good run. We're going to be going on 3 years this year, so it's exciting.
I didn't want to say anything, but yeah, when you included me in with that list of assholes, I wasn't really happy, but all right.
You were on the top of the list of that assholes, buddy.
Well, I know. King, but I tell you, what a room that would be. Imagine meet all those guys. Holy shit, keep your hand in your wallet.
Oh, my God. What do they call that? I'm king shit on top of Turd Mountain or something like that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Lindros is now a gold medal with the juniors, won a Memorial Cup in 90, gets first overall draft, gets traded for Peter Forsberg and a handful of other clowns to...
Oh, hold on, I got it right here. We'll keep the people informed. Don't just browse over this shit. This is one of the biggest trades in hockey history, and you're talking like, you know...
Now, was this...
We're returning a library book here.
Was this a three-team trade, or did New York offer to trade two, but they didn't turn it in on time or something like that?
Well, this is how goofy Quebec is. They screw up the friggin' trade.
That's what I thought.
They told both teams that they'll trade with them. Oh, so it ended up being... So it was at the next year's draft. So Lindros, okay, they draft him. He ain't going to play for him.
Right.
So he goes back and plays a year at junior. But then the draft comes up the next year. Okay, we're going to trade you. So they trade him. And he, like he said, as I'm sitting there waiting for my phone to ring, well, next thing I know, all the trade's getting held up because goddamn Quebec told two different teams, the Rangers and Flyers, yeah, we'll trade with you. God. So both teams were like, well, no, they're trading with us. So the NHL had to bring in an arbitrator, and it went lasted a week. And obviously they sided with the Flyers.
Now, how does that work? They just went by the time it was turned in, or?
Yeah, or, something like that. Or
Philly had better lawyers?
Well, I think New York, like talking to Neil Smith, I think he just eventually, yeah, you know what, fuck it. Okay, take him. Okay, he's your trade. You know? Damn. Well, because like, Quebec was obviously asking for the moon, right? Like, and New York finally just like, yeah, maybe we just won't do this shit,
and,
you know?
And read this trade, because they got a hefty amount of shit for Eric Lindros.
Well, they got Steve Duchesne, Peter Forsberg, Ron Hextall, Kerry Huffman, Mike Ricci, Chris Simon, two draft picks, and $15 million.
How old was Hextall at that time?
I think they only kept him for a year and it got rid of him anyway. Okay. But he would have been up. But Hextall held a grudge against Lindros forever.
For getting sent out Philly? Philly. Right. I mean, he's in Philly now doing his thing. He loves that place, so he probably was pretty pissed.
Oh, yeah. Well, he even said, oh, I hated Lindros for years because of that fucking trade. Oh, yeah.
Well, had to have gotten over it. Because is he the GM in Philly?
Yep.
So does a GM have a part in who gets, like, a jersey retired, or is that all ownership? Or is there, like, a board of fucking people?
I don't know how that would work.
I don't either. Because
I guess it'd be ownership because, well, it's the owner. It's his team.
So. That's what I'm saying. If I'm the owner, I'm going, oh, I'm going to retire this jersey. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm signing the checks around here, guys.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day. Well, at the end of the day, I mean, it's a jersey. You know, if you're retiring a jersey, I mean, obviously the guy who's going to argue with that? You know, like, you're not retiring, you know, some fourth-line mopes jersey. I mean, it's freaking Eric Lindros. I mean, what are you going to say? Oh, I don't think so.
There was some older gentleman who got a jersey retired for the Rangers this year, and I'm just like, man, I feel bad because I have no fucking idea who that guy is, and it just seemed odd to me. But, I mean, obviously he's a huge part of – I mean, if you're going to take a number off your roster forever, you got to be a fucking – just a monster of a player.
Yeah, I mean, some teams have obviously done it for different reasons. Like, it might not be, like, you know, a Hall of Fame career, per se. But, I mean, he might have, you know, just done so much shit within the organization or in the community. And yeah, it's like
– that's how sad Columbus is. They want to – people want Rick Nash to come back and play for a year so they can retire his jersey. I'm like, just to have a thing in the rafters for rafter's sake isn't – it's this fucking mentality of, we got to have a rafter. Everyone else has a rafter. Why can't we have something hanging? Well, Rick Nash didn't do shit. That's why his number shouldn't be hanging up there. He was good. That's all fine and dandy, but like
you had lots of good players.
Yeah, you went to the playoffs 1 year and then left when times got, you know, when you decided like, oh, well, I can go get paid. I mean, that's not a retirement kind of guy to me, at least. But that's neither here nor there. And I forgot to mention, too, that Lindros had won a MVP in the OHL as well, the Rod Tilson, before being drafted. So
he does the dominance thing, and okay, now we're got New York and Philly fighting over him, so Philly gets the trade.
And that, you like to imagine Quebec screwing the pooch that hard, where they traded him to two different teams. Like, it just speaks to that whole. From 91 until, you know, 93, the kind of bullshit Lindros was dealing with. And he really kept his head on straight and his shoulders strong and just, you know, laced him up and played.
That was the big thing, right? Like, everybody always, like, any time you bring up Eric Lindros, you get a bunch of people, oh, fuck that guy. And they're still mad about, oh, he didn't go to the Nords. Should have went to the Nords.
Well, there was that fucking guy on, like I said, that comment earlier. He said, my dad still hates him because he put a Leafs sweater on at the end of his career.
And like, like, people always, well, he was really, because, well, we'll get it. Yeah, well, I may as well do it now, right? Lindros did a lot of different things that really went against hockey.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you can argue whether it was good or bad. Like, I understand the position people take. I get it. But at the same time, when you look back on it now, was he really wrong?
No.
Well, I don't want to go to Quebec. This owner's a fucking jack-off and shit. Well, what happened 3 years later? They're out of Quebec. He moved the team.
Yeah, they fucking defect. They go. Maybe. Yeah. So maybe he saw shit.
Saying, I don't like this guy. He's greasy. I don't trust him. Blah, blah, blah. He keeps telling me how great Quebec is. I don't believe him. Well, it couldn't have been that great because the dude moved him in like 3 years later. Well, Lindros was right.
Great point. Great fucking point.
And like everybody brings that up and it's like, well, Lindros wasn't. But the thing is with hockey, and it was funny because I was watching this documentary and Bob McKenzie was talking about it. And he's absolutely right. I remember the hockey news was actually good because Bob McKenzie was the editor. That's when it was actually good and not that Ken Campbell jack off we have now.
Fucking Ken Campbell. I got a fucking problem with that guy, man. He's a fucking jackass.
Oh, he's a clown. And it's like, and it's not just, oh, he's fucking bitter for his nine boys. He just likes fighting. No, it has nothing to do with that. He's just an ignorant asshole. And it's like funny because I have a bunch of ex-players that I follow and they follow me and I've talked to a bunch of them in direct messages and they all say the same thing, that he's just a jerk off and no one in the NHL locker rooms respects that guy.
Did he play and not make it, or it's like he's a bit, or is he just a nerd? Like, he just seems like an angry, like fucking guy, like just, or maybe he's just trying to get click with his bullshit and he's like taking it that kind of perspective into his writing, which, you know, I write, but I'm not trying to stir shit like that when I'm not thinking of necessarily people's reaction about what I'm writing about. I'm just writing what I think is good.
Well, the great thing about what used to be great about the hockey news, because this is how I used to, because back in like the late 80s and early 90s, I had a subscription to the hockey news. Back then, it was awesome back then. And they actually, like now I call it the first line news because that's all they talk about is the first line guys. But back in the day, oh, they talked about they had a minor league section, a junior section. That was the only other place you could get the stats too. Because where are you going to get American Hockey League stats? Nowhere. Well, in Saskatoon, you weren't.
Well, that's why
in the hockey news they had them.
That was the best part of keeping hockey cards when you were little, is you could. That's how I got stats back. Oh, this guy did this in 92. I'd have to go back and find Doug Gilmore's card or something like that. There was
the greatest thing about having the hockey news subscription is at the end of the year they would send you the magazine yearbook, the year in review, and you would I sat on the toilet more times reading that thing, hours reading that thing, and at the back, because I had all the stories and everything, all the stories of the year, but at the back they had the stats for every junior for Quebec, WHL and OHL. The East Coast, American League, and the NHL.
Damn.
And now the kids listening now are just like, what are these Flintstones talking about? But it was true. Like, you never got these stats. You never saw them anywhere.
Do they still do that?
You got it in the back of the hockey news, and I'm scrolling through the International Hockey League, and I'm seeing Kevin Evans with 648 minutes of penalties. I'm like, who is this person? I need to see this shit, you know?
That's 640. That's insane.
That's the professional hockey league record, by the way, 648.
How many is that per game?
Well, he played 60-some games, so 10 minutes a game. Plus the dude had 50-some points. So, like, shit was going on every time that guy hit the ice.
Did he ever – so he wasn't getting suspended like he would now, though.
No shit. Now, two games in, he'd be in jail.
Yeah, he'd be out of the fucking league. That's insane.
But back then, it was a bunch of – you know, he'd get a bunch of 10s and shit. And, oh, yeah. But yeah. I don't know how many fights he had. But, oh, yeah, Kevin Evans. He was a little guy, too.
Could he throw him?
He wasn't bad, yeah.
Damn.
He was actually – when San Jose came into the league, they picked him up. He actually played – that's how he played in the NHL a few games, was with San Jose in their expansion year.
Did he really?
Yep. But you probably, because that's where he got all his minutes, was in Kalamazoo with the Sharks farm team. Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the K-Wings. 648 minutes. Kevin Evans. I'll never forget reading that. Yeah.
That's insane. That's more than a whole team now.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah.
So we're into into his rookie.
I'm like, where are we now? Because I actually had a point to all this. What was I talking about?
That's what I'm trying to remember, too. I'm getting cruising.
Oh, I was talking about Bob McKenzie running the hockey news. Oh, yeah, so Bob McKenzie was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric Lindros breaking hockey. Like, see, that's the thing, and it's true. In hockey, and it still is, since the day you start playing, really, it's out of your control where you go. Like, even here, like, when you're a kid, we had no choice where we played. It was all, wherever you lived, that was the zone you played in.
Yeah.
So, like, zone A, zone B, so I couldn't go play with whoever, you know. It was like, no, you live here, so you're playing with the Bobcats. It's like, oh, all right, you know, whatever. So now you go on further. Well, now you go into the Bantam draft, and the Western Hockey League team drafts you. You have no say what team you're going to go play for. They draft you. You have to go there.
Now, if you're an American, how are you invited to the draft by, say, like, say Scott Parker's living in Alaska. Do they get a hold of him, you know, playing and say, hey, we want you to be eligible for the W, or does he enter himself into something like that? How does that happen?
No, everybody that's, like, basically 15 years or 14 years old is in the Bantam draft.
Okay, so they're just fucking scouts everywhere, and
yeah. Well, because all the elite level kids will play at, like, these tournaments, right? Like the Pete Bantam tournaments, and
yeah.
Like they have these huge, like, Quebec tournaments where, like, you know, 50 teams show up. Well, it's all the elite players are there, right?
Okay,
but that's why. I mean, you have, like, lots of guys that never got taken in the Bantam draft that end up. Like, Shea Weber never got picked in the Bantam draft. Look how he turned out. I mean, you know, it's not like the, oh, he didn't get drafted. You're done. You may as well go play soccer now. So, like, no.
How does,
like, there's walk-ons and shit.
I was going to say, so then he ended up walking on for Kelowna then?
I don't know. No, I think they would have taken. No, he would have got drafted, I'm sure. Because it's a lot. So I'm assuming that they're considering that probably in the West.
Yeah.
But he might have just got invited. Like, so they might have just seen him and invite. Because, I mean, basically, if you played minor hockey, you got letters in the mail. Like,
right.
You know, so you'd show up last 2 days, and they'd be like, yeah, fucking beat it, you know. Well, the first few days of, like, WHL camp back in the day looked like the fucking Learn to Skate program, right? Every Yahoo and his dog would show up because they got a letter because they played organized hockey somewhere in Western Canada. Well, I'm gonna play for the Kelowna Rockets this year. Oh, shit, beat it. You know? But, oh, yeah. But, no, so a WHL team would take you. So it wasn't like, oh, I have my choice. No, so you got to go there. And then an NHL team takes you. You got to go there. Like, you had no, like, these guys have just had no say in anything. And Lindros was the first guy to be like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not going there.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you. From my memory, he was, like, the first dude to kind of John Elway and be like, you know, fuck that. I don't have to do that. No, I'm not only do I not have to, I'm not going to.
Well, and the big thing with Lindros, which really started all this shit, is back when the OHL did their draft, he did the same thing.
Did he really?
Sault Ste. Marie took him, and he said, no, I'm not going there.
Really?
Yeah. So he already had heat to begin with, because it was like, what do you mean? Who's this 15-year-old kid telling Sault Ste. Marie he's not going to play there? Because Sault Ste. Marie is kind of really isolated.
Uh-huh.
And so he was just like, no, because I'm going to go to school and shit. And
see, I'd never heard that. That's crazy.
Well, so they ended up changing the rules because of him. Because now Sault Ste. Marie's telling the Ontario Hockey League, well, our first pick was this guy. He's not coming here. This has never happened before.
Right.
So, and it's not like, so they're talking to Branch, the commissioner, and it's like, well, he's our first overall pick. Like, see, the thing is, that, like, these junior teams, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's even like, to this day, like, that's a big, it's not like, oh, in the NHL, well, we'll sign a bunch of free agents. In junior, it doesn't work that way. It's all drafting.
Yeah, and that one-star player could fill their seats for a whole season.
Well, yeah, and, like, everybody had seen this guy, even at 15, they're like, oh, Jesus, we got to get this guy. So Sault Ste. Marie takes him, and he's like, yeah, no. Well, now what? You know, so they changed the rules to where you can trade now. So Sault Ste. Marie traded him to Oshawa because he wanted to be close, because he was going to university while he was playing for the Oshawa Generals. Lindros is a smart motherfucker. And his parents were, like, really big into education and stressed it. He was taking university classes and shit.
Is Oshawa, like, by London?
There was no guarantee I was going to play.
Right. Is Oshawa by London?
Yeah, like, I don't know, I've never been to Ontario. Geographically, I'm not quite sure, but I know Oshawa's very, like, all those teams are fairly, like, the drives aren't very, but I know a few teams, like Sault Ste. Marie and shit, are pretty, you know, are quite a haul.
No shit.
But it's all in the province of Ontario.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Like, Canada itself is so big. It's the second largest landmass in the world. So it's like, that's why shit's so spread out here.
Canada is a big motherfucker, isn't it?
It's second biggest country in the world behind Russia in terms of landmass. Not population.
No, population
is... I think California's got more people than Canada does.
For sure. You know? I mean, Texas has more people than the entire world.
Yeah, but in terms of landmass, like, that's the thing. I can leave my house and go drive, like, 7 hours and still be in Saskatchewan.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because I'm going up north. I'll be way up there, and I'll be wet because I'll be in the middle of a lake somewhere, but I'm still in Saskatchewan.
So how much nothing is up there?
Oh, it's wheat fields for as far as you can see, especially in Saskatchewan because it's flat, right? It's all farmland. I mean, you can watch your dog run away for 3 days.
Jesus Christ.
As my buddy would say, flattered piss on a plate. Yeah.
Oh, God, that's fucking great. So do you think
come for the last state for the hockey knowledge, I'm telling you.
That's right. Do you think that Lindros just was like this, or do you think it was because he was so cerebrally advanced that he was like, well, I don't have to do this, and, you know, maybe – he's a good-looking dude. He's a big dude. So maybe he just kind of had this fucking confidence about him, too, where he's like, well, you know, I'm fucking smart. I know I don't have to do this. And also, fuck you.
Well, the thing is he had all the cards, right? Because, right. I mean, when you're the next one and you're that good.
And he knew it.
Money that they're projected to go in the third or fourth round.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could tell you, old fourth-line voice, I wasn't getting a hold of the Saskatoon Blade saying, yeah, if you pick me, I ain't coming.
Yeah.
Because he'd be who? Like, you know how good at hockey I was? When I quit, nobody noticed.
They just kept playing, like, guys, nobody called and said I didn't show up today. Like, oh, you weren't there.
Yeah, that's how good I was. Yeah. But it was like, no, so I mean, he had all the cards, right? So it was like, yeah, he had the power, like, I'm that good, and it's like, yeah, I can tell you I'm not playing. So beat it. So, but he was like the first one to actually do that. So, of course, he tells the Sioux to beat it, and they end up trading him to Oshawa. So he's already hated because they're like, look at the balls on this kid.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, no one had done it before. So now he's already got heat. Now you go into the NHL. Now he tells Quebec he's doing that. Now he's got mega heat, right?
Yeah.
It's like, look.
And that kind of thing isn't, when you think about Canadians, you don't really think flashy, arrogant people. So, I could imagine up there the hatred for him might have grew. I'm sure it wasn't as big of a deal in the States. I'm sure it wasn't even thought of, really, especially at that time. You know how hockey's not very popular here now, let alone then.
Well, and there was no social media then.
Right.
So it's like no one gave a shit. Philadelphia was just like, oh, okay, apparently we're getting someone good. You know, and I mean, because I guarantee you, as much as I didn't see a lot of Oshawa shit, no one in Philly saw any of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, I don't know. I've heard this guy's good. We're getting somebody. But the big thing was for Lindros is over that summer before he went to Philly, the Canada Cup was on. And he got invited to play as an 18-year-old in the Canada Cup with Gretzky and all them.
Oh, shit.
Which was unheard of. So now it's like, okay, motherfucker, you think you're so great? Well, let's see you now, because now you're playing the best players in the world. And he dominated.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was ridiculous. And he's just hammering dudes and shit. So now it's like, oh, here we go. You know, look at this guy.
So Philly's rock hard now.
Oh, yeah. So he shows up in Philly, and an instant, like Dan from the Obey the Puck show will tell you, like, that's what got him into, you know, the whole thing, like, and the sales and everything that took over, like, even Philadelphia, in hindsight, they look back on the trade now, and they even said, like, oh, we'd still probably do it. As much as we didn't like getting rid of Forsberg and all that shit.
Yeah.
They would still probably do it, because, like, Lindros with the money, just from strictly a financial standpoint, and revitalizing that Flyers market. Oh, yeah.
And the team was in the pits at the time that he was drafted, too.
Oh, they were the shits, yeah.
It was the Broad Street Boys, and then not until the Legion of Doom were they relevant again.
Exactly.
And he was such a big fucking, standpoint in that franchise that, you know, drafted, you know, he's played rookie season in 92-93, fucking definition of a power forward. And then next season, he's wearing the fucking C on his sweater. He's probably, 20 years old wearing the C?
Yeah, you know, and it was like, and that was a thing. I mean, you got this huge, huge dude that's dominating people. You know, good-looking guy, so the chicks all dig him, and it's just like, oh, the guy had it all, right? But he was mean and tough,
which is perfect for Philly.
So it's like the dudes liked him too, because it was like, oh, this guy kicks ass, and then the females like him because he's, you know, whatever. He's a good-looking dude too.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, the guy had it all. Oh yeah.
He's a fucking a marketer's dream. Like we literally can't lose. Like this guy can do like women's deodorant commercials and and fucking, you know, Labatt Light commercials.
Oh yeah, it was funny. I was talking to a follower that I won't name him or anything, but like he's from Oshawa, and I guess he's the same age as the he grew up with the Lindrosses and shit, right? So he was just kind of giving me the lowdown, the first year he showed up in Philly, they were like, you know, because he's 18 and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they put him with Kevin Dineen, like the old man, right? He lived with the Dineens in the basement and shit. Keep an eye on him, you know, because all of a sudden now he's got a whole bunch of money and he's the talk of the hockey world. Keep an eye on him and all that shit. And he was really humble and like level-headed, and, you know, just the rookie, oh shucks, happy to be here. But then the second year, he moved in with Ryan McGill, and I guess his place just became like the stabbing cabin. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just chicks all the time, and just, oh, yeah.
He drops fucking 40 goals in his rookie year, didn't he?
Something like that, yeah. I don't think he won the Calder, though. It's like he got screwed out of that, man. Forsberg actually won it, didn't he?
Quebec probably paid fucking the NHL to be like, hey, don't give him that. Hey, keep running. I brought beer out here, but I got to go grab some more.
Hey, me too.
All right, I'll just stop it.
Yeah, I think he put up some pretty decent seasons, you know, on his own. Obviously, he had to come out of the shell a little bit, and he got ice time and whatever. And so, you know, he was given the opportunity where he wasn't in Montreal, and that's a lot of times just what guys need. But
where did Lindros go after Philly? Did he go to New York?
After he left Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Yeah, New York.
Okay, so it was New York first, then Toronto,
he finished up in Dallas.
Then yeah, Dallas is if you count it. So he 92-93, 94 becomes the captain. 95 he wins the Hart. One of them years he takes Philly back to the playoffs for the first time in 6 years, and like we had mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, that really brought pride back into this hockey team in that city that, you know, had been a part of Cups, but it had been, at this point, 2 decades ago?
Well, it was like 75, right?
Right, so, yeah, almost to the T. So, and he's bringing a style of hockey, too, where you can't stop the man. He's crushing people, unapologetically so, too, that there's that hit, and I know I think about halfway through it when he gets, who's the guy for, I think it's it was the Senators at the time.
Yeah, it's Ottawa. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember. It was a European guy.
Yeah. And he fucking crushes him, and his head busts open. There's fucking blood everywhere. And, you know, he's on the sides for – the guy takes a few minutes to get up, but at first he's just like, well, fucking, what do you – I hit him. And then you can see him a little bit at the end be like, oh, shit. But most of the time he was just like, you know, fuck you, get out of my way, I'm Eric Lindros, let's do this. Was it in the finals or the final against Tampa Bay where there's a huge scrum and everybody's fucking covered in blood?
Yeah. Yeah.
And did he fight a lot?
Not really.
I didn't think so.
Well, it's, I mean, you know, 60 career fights. You know, and you got to think, I mean, the last few years in, like, New York and Toronto and shit, I mean, he's not going to go into fighting with his head the way it is.
No.
But when he was in Philly, I mean, he'd fight, you know, 8-9 times a year.
Okay.
You know, well, the thing is he's on the first line, right?
Right.
So obviously he's matched up against other first line players. Well, who the fuck are the first lines going to fight Eric Lindros?
Right. Right.
You know, so every once in a while, it's like everybody, you know, everybody talk about Tapias. He never fought anybody. Well, I mean, if you're a coach, you're not matching your fourth line up against the Legion of Doom, you dumb shits.
No,
you know?
that's the shit that's still happens today. With the, I mean, I know you don't watch a bunch, but Tom Wilson plays on the top line, and he's a physical dude, and everybody wants to see him fight Ryan Reeves, but that's a first line dude against a fourth line dude. It's not, they're not on the ice together. I don't know if you understand how it works. It just doesn't happen.
Well, yeah, unless you're the home team and you get last change,
right?
I mean, other than that, it's like, yeah, well, I'm not gonna, you know, if it's 1-1 or whatever, it's like, yeah, no, unless the score gets out of hand, then you'll see it. But other than that, yeah. So I mean, Lindros's fights, it's, you know, like, you know, he was fighting other kind of top guys, so it wasn't like he was fighting. Like, if I'm the Philadelphia coach, I don't want Eric Lindros fighting Bob Probert.
No,
you know, of course not. But he fought McSorley. And he fought like Chris Simon. His fight with Chris Simon's awesome, actually.
Chris Simon's a fucking beast.
Yeah, and Lindros beat him.
Look at Chris Simon's list of dudes that he fought. He fought fucking everybody.
Oh, Simon could have been the net. He busted up Probert and shit. Like, he was like the real deal. And then he blew his shoulder out and got it rebuilt. And after he got his shoulder fixed, he couldn't fight anymore.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, you know. Wow, that in the 1 year he scored 29 goals, and I think he started thinking he was Joe Sakic instead of, you know. I mean, you can't blame guys, because, no. I mean, everybody'd rather score goals than fight, right?
Yeah, most of them.
The problem with that is, I mean, that's the reason he scored 29 goals, is because you scare everybody.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, everybody was saying, oh, Probert didn't really need to fight that much because he could score. Well, no, he scored that much because he fought that many times, you know.
I think
it's when Don Cherry, the old saying always says, and Cherry always says this, when a crusher becomes a rusher, he soon becomes an usher. And once they start thinking they're goal scorers, it's like, no, there's a reason you got room, is because you scared people.
Yeah.
You know?
There's only a few dudes that would answer, I'd rather fight than score goals. Like, McGranton would much rather punch you in the fucking head than, I think, score. But he's one of the rare breed, I think, in that case.
Well, yeah, I mean, you always have your Tony Twist, and I mean, I really love to fight and shit, but I think most of those guys, well, I mean, hey, I mean, yeah, the fight's great, I'm the toughest guy in the league, yeah, but the guy scoring the goals makes $10 million and you're making one, so
right.
I think I'd rather score the goals and make $10 million.
right.
You know, but it's like, but Lindros could, because he was so big, and yeah, so I mean, he fought Bukaboom and Marchment and Scott Stevens and Chris Simon and Lyle O'Line and McSorley.
And people made a lot of the Scott Stevens like it was a rivalry. I don't remember it that way, but.
They did. There was a bunch of hits. Stevens, actually, it fights on my YouTube page. Stevens clocks him before that, too. Hit him really good. And when Lindros got pissed and got up and they had a fight right after it. But Stevens knocks him on his ass, which back then was rare, right? Didn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody forgets about Scott Stevens. Once he got older and got to New Jersey and he was their captain and stuff, obviously he didn't fight as much. He'd have a couple fights a year. But when Stevens first came up with Washington, I mean, dude almost at 300 minutes, he stood with Dave Brown. Oof. And smashed the shit out of Brown. And had a really good, you know, Stevens was no joke. You know, as he got older, obviously New Jersey didn't want to fight anymore. You know, but when he first came up, Stevens is a bad dude, man.
Yeah, he never lost that hitting spirit. But
oh, no. No, he's the biggest hitter for a defenseman anyway that I've ever seen.
Of all time, some of his hits were like, they, if you watch them, it hurts like your chest. You're like, oh, fuck. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I mean, he essentially ended Lindros's career.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because even Lindros says he was never the same anymore because he was scared to come across the middle after that.
And that changed his whole game.
Yeah, and he was never the same player after that.
And the thing with concussions, too, once you have one, you're prone to two, and then that lack of confidence, and then that affects you.
Now you're scared, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the big thing with Lindros and what other people don't, and well, and this is the other thing I was going to get into, with him being a pioneer and a trailblazer in a lot of things. Everybody forgets about his brother,
Brett.
Well, he retired because of concussions. His brother was he got picked 8th overall by the Islanders. Like, he was a really good player too, but he was a lot more physical than Eric was, if you can believe that. Like, he was much more of a fighter.
Brett was.
Yeah. And, but the problem was, is of course his last name's Lindros, and what they should have done is sent him back to junior.
Yeah.
But no, instead they're trying to, you know, and it's Milbury, of course, of all people, Milbury's the GM that took him.
Think it's a money grab?
With the Islanders. Oh, I can remember the draft when he took Brett Lindros 8th overall. Oh, I think New York Islanders just got the better Lindros.
Whoa, it's bud.
Like, it's like, okay. Like, okay, Mike.
Pump the brakes there, Mike.
Yeah, like, you know, and then, but they just threw him to the Wolves, and it's like, oh, he ended up fighting Langdon and Paul Laws and all these heavyweights, and he did okay, but like he said at the same time, there was no way, they rushed him, and there's no way he should have been in the NHL at that point. Well, and he ended up getting head trauma and retiring.
Damn, like, and he wasn't in the league long, was he?
Oh, he 51 games, like over 2 years.
Holy shit.
And then he was done.
Wow.
That's... He retired. So Eric's looking at that. Well, my brother just retired from head trauma. And like I said, nowadays, that's, you know, that sounds like, well, yeah. But back then, you didn't, hey, suck it up, buttercup. Keep playing, right?
The information wasn't like it is now. Not even close.
No. So, and that was the big thing with him and Bobby Clark. And that's what got him all the heat with the Flyers.
Right.
Because he got all the head injuries. And they kept trying to get him to come back, and he didn't trust the Flyer doctor. And he said, no, I'm going to go get my own independent doctor to look at me.
Now, there was a specific incident, too, that led to that, where he was supposed to get in and go play, and the trainer of Philly was like, you have to go to the hospital immediately, and kind of went against the grain of the team. And the doctor ended up telling him, like, oh, if you would have played, you would have died.
Yeah, and then that's what got him so mad, because the Flyers doctor was kind of like, oh, no, you're good to go.
Yeah, you're fine. Get in there, bud.
Yeah, and he's telling him, no, I'm not. And the independent doctor's like, yeah, no, you can die.
And Bobby Clark was getting pissed about it, calling him, you know, basically a cupcake, saying, like you said, suck it up, buttercup. Get out there and fucking play. I'm paying you money. You're a fucking... A human in the fucking Flyers jersey. Get out there and fucking play. And Lindros is like, I can't.
Yeah, well, and Bobby Clark at the same time saying, well, our doctor is saying that you can play. He's clearing you, and you're not playing.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what got him all the heat. Of course, that's what Bobby Clark went to the media with. So all these fans in Philly are like, oh, look at the bitch.
Right, you know? and you can't blame Bobby, I guess, if a doctor – because everybody trusts anything a doctor fucking says.
All that, and it was the 90s, and, you know, I mean, they wouldn't do it now, but I mean...
No, he would have been forced retired probably in fucking 99.
Oh, yeah, you know. So, and that was the thing. So that was a real, and again, that's a real trailblazing thing for him, just like, no, I'm going to go to get an independent doctor, and until I feel ready to play, I'm going to sit here.
And so if you think about this guy, Eric Lindros... One, he set a standard where, you know, that many players have followed through, where they get drafted and won't report to the team. I mean, our buddy Scott Parker's done it. A kid, Will Butcher, did it last year. It's becoming more commonplace. Jimmy Vesey did it 2 seasons ago, where you get drafted and you say, no, if you can't come to terms, it's not as uncommon. But when Lindros did it, it was, you know, trailblazer. And then this thing, too, with the head trauma.
Yeah, well, and then you see it now, and it's like so much, well, yeah, you're sitting there thinking, like, the younger people are like, well, yeah, no shit.
Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, I could, from first-hand experience, I could tell you it wasn't like that in the 90s.
No.
You just didn't do that, right?
Dude.
And, like, you never, and we didn't put any thought, that's the thing, and it sounds, well, I won't get into the whole Carcillo thing. I was already.
No, get into it.
Well, obviously, he blocked me today on Twitter.
That's what I was reading, and. I don't know Carcillo very well, and I was just getting into it today. So I didn't follow him. I ended up following him today to see what kind of shit he's stirring up. But something where he says he has CTE, right? But he's like poking shit at people that played for having head trauma. Like, I'm very confused about the story. So just fill me in a little. You don't have to get into it too hard if you don't want to. But
no, that's fine. No, it was just no. And his big thing. And I know him and your Riley Cote and guys like that. I mean, Riley was with them and like agreeing with them. And I've said from day one, I agree with what Carcillo wants to do. Like, he's really getting on the union, players union, as well as the league, to set something up for life after hockey for these guys and maybe get these guys health benefits and insurance and stuff like that. Cause like, I mean, we have healthcare in Canada, but I mean, down in the States, the American guys can't get insurance because all of a sudden now the insurance companies, after you leave the NHL,
you're done.
Obviously, your insurance is gone. Well, now you have a pre-existing condition.
Right, and when you say it's done, I mean, the second that they don't sign, it's over.
Yeah, but now the insurance company will claim you have a pre-existing condition and now they won't cover you.
Well, of course.
Yeah, so that's not an issue here, but I mean, it's like, yeah, so I mean, the Americans, like Peluso and, well, Scott Parker and guys like that, I mean, that's a big deal, right?
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, so it's like, well, you paid all these years that you played, you put in money into the union, and it's like, well, your union's not helping you, right? As soon as, they're all for you when you're playing, but as soon as you retire, it's like, yeah, okay, thanks, you know, and it's out to pasture, and it's like, so I agree with what he's, with his mission in terms of that, and then just getting guys, you know, into regular life, you know, outside of hockey. And
so healthcare is truly free in Canada. Like, you guys just pay a tax every paycheck.
Well, I mean, our taxes are high, and I mean, that's why beer is $30 for 12 instead of like down there where it's $8.
Yeah, I was going to say,
nothing's free, but like the one follower I always say, he goes, well, I'd pay more for beer if I could get healthcare. You know, so
yeah, I probably would too, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing's free in this world. Obviously, we're heavily taxed and everything else, but yeah.
Well, no,
if I have a heart attack, I'm not going to lose my house.
No, and see, in America, that can happen very easily. Your Absolutely. Kids can lose their house for it.
Well, like what somebody say, the United States is the only country in the what do you call it in the civilized world that doesn't have healthcare.
Wow. But yeah. I heard somebody in Canada saying, like, you still have to pay for medicine. Like, that's a misconception, like prescriptions at least, or maybe if, like, you get name brands or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we have to do that. I mean, with my government job, I mean, obviously I have benefits, right? So
right.
A lot of – but I mean, I pay for them. Like, you know, I pay a couple, you know, almost $1,000 a year for benefits, but at the same time, my prescriptions are a lot cheaper and blah, blah, blah. And dental work is covered and stuff like that. Like, I can go to the dentist and it's not going to cost me anything, you know?
We had a thing because when I was starting to get into the workforce, you didn't have to pay health insurance. Now we do, but mm-hmm. I still don't have health care. That's what's fucking crazy. Like, I have to pay a certain amount of money every week, but my health care is dog shit.
Is that Obamacare?
No, I don't have that. That was the law that forced you to have mandatory health insurance. So I pay a company, Medical Mutual, so many hundreds of dollars every 2 weeks, but I still have to pay my copay and all this fucking crazy shit. Where I'm like, I might as well just take the fine at the end of the year from the taxes, which is like $600 or $700, rather than pay these fuckheads $150 or $200 every 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck am I paying for? And I don't ever go to the doctor or anything either, but like, I can't go get my eyes checked without fucking basically selling my car.
Yeah, like, see, that to me, that, like, I just actually had to go get my eyes test for the driving thing. It didn't cost me anything.
And I'm losing my eyesight. I can fucking feel it, man. My right eye is bad news bears.
That's not good. You're going to get them thick Hansen glasses and shit.
That's like Big Rand's glasses. You ever see those fucking things? They look like fucking mason jars on his fucking head.
Well, I was going to tell him, don't look into the sun. You'll fucking burn yourself. Yeah.
Won't be able to read them fucking Batman comic books anymore. This was something crazy that I had seen about Lindros that I didn't know. I forget what magazine it was or some kind of NHL thing, but in 1998, he was ranked the 54th out of the 100 top players all time in NHL history in 6 seasons. Like, that's how big of a deal Eric Lindros was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like I was saying before, it's like, yeah, people that didn't grow up with him and watch him. I mean, it's one thing you go back and watch video now, and But if there's no context to it or you don't really understand what's going on, I mean, yeah, when you saw him in person or live at that moment, there was not, you had never seen anything like him. And like I said, I've seen hockey for 42 years on this earth, and I still have never seen anything like him. And I mean, when they made that trade and everything, and everybody's all Forsberg couldn't carry Lindros's jock, you know. And what do the kids say? At me if you want. No, there's nothing. Forsberg is nothing compared to Lindros. Are you still there?
Yeah, I am. I had to piss.
Oh.
I was trying to do it real quick while you're talking. My studio, I have my front door to my studio goes straight out to my porch. So I can still hear it. I was trying to make it back in time. My fucking piss stream was a little too strong.
It's like the one time I actually stopped a rant early.
Yeah, I was like, he'll go. I've just got to start him here, and I could fucking piss in time. I was like, wait, he stopped the first time. I was like, oh shit, and he kept going. I was like, fuck.
But I was laughing because like the Lindros Forsberg thing, that's always the comparison, right? Because they got traded for each other,
right?
And they go on and on about what a band aid Lindros was and everything. He played more games than Forsberg did.
Did he really?
Yeah. He played like 60 more career games than Forsberg did.
Now what happened? Because later on in Forsberg's career, he just, like, dipped out, didn't he? He was just like, I'm done, and went back to fucking Sweden, didn't he?
No, it was Forsberg. I didn't give a shit about Peter Forsberg. I never paid attention to him.
Well, I guess the argument probably is what? He won a bunch of cups in Colorado, and that's...
He won two, yeah. He won the two cups.
And that's ultimately...
That's the thing. When you look back at the trade, it's like, okay, say they didn't make that trade, and Lindros goes. Okay. Because essentially it's Forsberg for Lindros. So take Forsberg out of the equation. You put Lindros in there instead of Forsberg. Well, you know, other than, like, Duchesne was gone. Ekstall was gone. Hoffman, gone. Ricci was a third line. Yeah, you know, he was a foot soldier. He was all right.
Yeah. But
Simon was, at that point, Simon was all right. He won a cup with him, but he wasn't the Washington Simon.
It was Sakic already on...
Oh yeah, Sakic was already there. And okay. He was in Quebec already and shit.
Okay.
You know, and stuff like that. So, but what won Colorado the cup? It wasn't the trade for Lindros.
No,
it was
say his name.
Forget Patrick Roy.
Yeah, that's fucking clear as day. Everybody.
Yeah.
That's.
But everybody keeps saying, oh, it's because we traded Lindros. That's why we won the cup. It's like, no, it wasn't. It's you got Patrick Roy.
No.
That had nothing to do with Lindros.
Because Montreal would have won all those other cups if Patrick Roy was still there.
Well, I mean. Well, at any rate, Colorado wouldn't have.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or they would have definitely never been able to compete with Detroit.
No, well, and that's the other thing people forget. Well, there's no salary cap, so, like, you know, yeah, Detroit and Colorado, they were just buying guys. Oh, yeah, we just need Ray. We need old Ray Ray here for a couple of weeks just so we can win a cup, you know. I was pumped to see Bork win the cup, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, they're buying Fleury and shit and Ray Bork, and it's like, what, are you kidding? You know?
And when Bork won it, I wasn't as happy for him as I am now. I was kind of like, what the fuck then? But now it's like, I get it. The dude played for like fucking 22 years. If he had like a shot, this was a shot. And when you listen, you talk to the dudes on the team and they're like, well, he's literally like the best guy ever. So it's I'm happy for him now. But I was a little...
And the coolest thing was ever is like when they hand the cup to Sakic, and Sakic doesn't even pump the cup or nothing. He just hands it right to Bork right away.
And how cool was that?
That was awesome. I remember I was at a small town tournament in Wilkie, Saskatchewan. I was playing in a senior baseball tournament then, and we were all in the Wilkie bar that night, hammered watching that. I'll never forget it. Yeah.
That's Yeah, that's the kind of shit that you get for hockey that just doesn't happen fucking anywhere else. Yeah, but, man, I had something else to say about Patrick Wall, but that fucking took a sip of a bat and it burned it right on my fucking brain.
But, I mean, that's what won them the cup, was put them over the top, was Patrick Wall. I mean, they weren't winning the cup with Jocelyn Thibault, you know. Well, that's who they got with one of the draft picks, right? Yeah, they weren't winning with him. So, I'm not knocking JT, but I'm just saying. When you got Patrick Wall, that's what sealed the deal.
No, I was going to say, is Forsberg retired in Colorado? Is he hanging? No,
probably. I would assume so.
See, I don't know.
If not, it's coming.
Yeah, he will be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from Peter Forsberg. I mean, obviously, he was a great player. And in theory, he had, I don't know, 60 more points than Lindros. He played less games. I'm not saying that, but they were completely different players.
Yeah.
I mean, Forsberg was kind of physical. He was more dirty than anybody will tell you. Forsberg was dirty as shit. But, I mean, he was nowhere near the physical dominant that Lindros was, and he certainly never fought. That was the other thing. Lindros had three times as many penalty minutes as Forsberg did, too. So, you know.
Was there anybody else like Eric Lindros that you remember from watching him in Philly?
No. To this day, there hasn't been.
Right.
You can go all the way up to 2018, there hasn't been anybody like Eric Lindros.
He's literally one, like you said, there's like, you have these generational players. You have, you know, like Gordie Howe and Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky, Eric Lindros, Mario Lemieux, you know, and then Sidney Crosby, dudes like that that just put a stamp on the game that can't be removed.
No. Like, the only, like, the, you can get, like, with Lindros, I mean, people will bring up, like, Ovechkin or Ginla and stuff like that. I mean, Ginla had a lot more fights than Lindros did, and, I mean, had more points and all that. But, I mean, he wasn't the physical hitter that Lindros was.
Yeah, and Ginla didn't get hurt like Lindros did either.
No, and I mean, that was the other thing. I mean, you know, Lindros had, like, the prime of his career, he was cut down, right? I mean, yeah, he played, like, the three seasons in New York and then the season in Toronto and Dallas, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he was just, you know, I mean, the 1 year he had, you know, 73 points with New York the 1 year. So, I mean, it wasn't like he was just some putz out there after. I mean, he was still all right, obviously, but, I mean, he was never the same.
Are you like me when I think about Eric Lindros? I don't even think about New York or Toronto or Dallas.
No, it's all Philly after his, right? To me, his career ended when Stevens hit him.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah, because that was, it's not Eric Lindros anymore. Like when he played in New York and Toronto and Dallas, especially Dallas. I mean, you know, he wasn't hitting anybody, or, you know, he was still good, like compared to everyone else, but he wasn't great. And it was just like, he's just going through the motions and collecting his money. Because it wasn't like he was really, he just wasn't the same. But yeah, and I think a lot of times, like the younger people and stuff, that's what they see, right? Because that was in the mid-2000s. I mean, that's sort of the Lindros they see. And it's like, no, the one that you had to see, it was the one in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And that was just unbelievable.
That's the one I remember. I remember specifically him and LeClaire being, you know, my house was a bigger basketball family. So, like, to equate it to anything, it'd be like Scotty and fucking Michael Jordan. It was like LeClaire and Lindros without the championships. But still, they had that thing about them, too, where if they wanted to, they were just doing it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing when everybody brings up Lindros. Well, he never won a cup. Well, you know, everybody equates like these championships to how good of a player you were. It's like, well, that's what I always say with Lindros in Philadelphia. Well, I mean, what was he supposed to play fucking net too?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, that, Jesus, he had no goalie. Look how far he took him. Like,
it's like yeah. Probert too. I mean, I feel bad they didn't, but I mean, you can't say his career is any less important.
Well, no, I mean, not in a team game. Like championships don't mean you can't do anything in a team game. It's like,
and you know,
like, if that's the case with Ken Morrow with the Islanders, is the greatest defenseman ever because he won five cups.
Yeah, you know who wins the Stanley Cup? Nobody. Nobody ever fucking wins a like that's a you're an anomaly if you're a Stanley Cup champion. That shit doesn't just happen.
Like anything in team sports, whether it be football, baseball, or whatever, you can't just like everybody's like, oh, he's the greatest because he won this many, and like that's always the thing in football, right? Oh, Dan Marino can't be in the greatest quarterback because he never won. Well,
you know what's sad about Dan Marino is that that narrative's so strong, especially in the NFL, that they're almost erasing him from. Like, if you ask a 13-year-old right now who's Dan Marino, they will have no idea. Like, they've pushed.
Unless they watch Ace Ventura, they have no idea who he is.
That's like my son. I played Ace Ventura for him a couple months ago, and he's like, this is the funniest movie I've ever seen. I'm like, yeah, dude, it's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And Cannibal Corpse is in it, too. I'm like, yeah, this movie was made for dudes like me when I was little. I'm like, there's death metal in this. There's fucking sharks.
Jim Carrey is like a massive death metal fan.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, hey, there you go, another Canadian, Toronto boy.
He's a Toronto boy, isn't he?
He is.
He's losing his marbles now, though.
He doesn't like Trump, that's for sure.
I think he's doing it as a joke, though. It's like acting like he's going off the rails. Where he's probably at home watching the fucking Cup final, going, I can't believe these people are fucking eating this shit up.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. He's probably bored.
Well, because he was like a huge fan of Andy Kaufman, right?
Right.
And that's what Kaufman did.
I think, yeah. Right? I don't know. Did he ever get to speak with Andy in person?
I don't know. I doubt it. I'm trying to think when Kaufman died. I doubt it.
So did you watch the documentary, Andy and I, about Jim Carrey playing that role?
I've seen clips of that, of them talking about it, and I saw the Man in the Moon and all that.
It's incredible.
I feel like the wrestling part more with like Jerry Lawler and stuff.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. You should. Do you have Netflix?
Yes.
Watch it.
Well, I've seen it. I've just never bothered to watch it. But
dude, it's incredible. There's a part where he says he like went out on the beach and he sat down before he started making the movie, and he talked to Andy Kaufman in his brain. And the second he walked off that beach, he was Andy Kaufman until they wrapped that film. So on set, he wouldn't answer to Jim. He would do. He'd either show up as Tony Clifton or Jim Carrey. And even when Jim Lawler was there, or Jerry Lawler was there, he was still fucking with him. Like he spit on him and backstage and was like getting him pissed. And like Jerry Lawler went to punch him in the face for real, like off camera. But there's this dude. The actual Tony Clifton is making a documentary the whole time. It's insane to think of, like, and whoever made the film didn't want it to be released because they didn't want people to think Jim Carrey was an asshole. But he was doing it specifically because he thought he was Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, no, I remember watching an interview with Lawler. Lawler was talking about how he wanted to kill Jim Carrey and shit, and how he thought he was really Kaufman. And yeah.
Are you a wrestling fan?
I love wrestling. Yep.
Like Dave Schultz, wrestling. So
like, I mean, I grew up with it, obviously, and stuff like that. It's not like I'm watching Raw. I don't watch Raw or anything. I mean,
my boy's 8, and I just can't. I'm like, dude. I was like, can we just watch like Attitude Era, like Stone Cold highlights? I'm like, I'll show you wrestling, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with the hockey, right? I'm kind of more of an old school guy, and like the old 80s NWA shit, stuff like Midnight Express and stuff like that, and WWF British Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation. Yeah, I'm not really too much into the new stuff.
But I guess in Canada, I mean, you guys basically made professional wrestling. Really? The Hart family kind of...
Oh, it was a huge deal in Calgary. Yeah, it was... they're like... Bret Hart was like, yeah, he was literally like royalty in Canada, Western Canada anyway.
You ever meet him?
No, but I met Chris Jericho and stuff. Yeah. I was in, my friend was at wrestling camp with him. I met him when he was still Chris Irvin.
Chris Irvin, his daddy's a Stanley Cup champion, isn't he?
I don't know if he ever won the cup, but yeah, Ted Irvin, yeah, he was a bad dude. Tough dude, played with the Rangers and shit. Played in a bunch of teams. Yeah, Jericho.
I was listening to Jericho's podcast, and he said he had Ted Irvin on, and I was like, wait, what the fuck's going on here now? Like, your dad's a fuck, and I was like, oh fuck, he's Canadian. Obviously, Jericho's not his real last name. Like, when I bought that shit so hard when I was a kid that I wouldn't have thought that he'd have a different last name. You know, so it's like fucking very strange.
Yeah, he's a dual citizen. Yeah, but he was from Winnipeg. Yeah, he was. Yeah, Jericho's. Yeah, he's a big hockey dude. Hockey fan, obviously. But no, it was funny when he was going. He went to the Hart Brothers camp when my buddy was there, so I went up to visit my friend, and obviously they were hanging out. And I mean, obviously he wasn't Chris Jericho at the time, right? He was just a dude from Winnipeg with long blonde hair and a good build. Just hung out, and he's a good dude. And actually, he ended up he's like still stays in touch with my buddy. Yeah,
he's another death metaler.
Well, he's in his own band, yeah, Fozzy. He's got his own metal band.
Fucking Fozzy, yeah. Man. I like some Fozzy songs. It's kind of my guilty pleasure. I think it's just part of, like, being a wrestling fan. I'm like, yeah, fucking something about it.
Well, the thing is, he's got fuck you money, right? So oh, yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, he can do whatever he wants and comes in, and he's been relatively healthy, so he comes and goes from wrestling. And
He was in Sharknado 3.
Was he? Yeah. Fuck he's, yeah. Like I said, he was great. I loved him when he was back in WCW. Oh yeah, and like he was fighting Dean Malenko, who used to call himself the man of 1,001 holds. So Jericho called himself the 1,004 holds. Yeah. Do you remember? He challenged. I remember him telling my buddies, like, "Oh, WCW's run so poorly. They tell me to just go out, grab the mic, and talk for 5 minutes to fill up time." So Jericho would just start rambling about shit just to make his friends laugh on TV. So he challenged Dean Malenko to a Saskatchewan street fight and shit like that. And meanwhile, it's like getting filmed. They're down in like Georgia and shit. Like all these fans are like, what the
crazy? What the fuck Saskatchewan? Is
Saskatchewan? Yeah, they're like, what? You know, but he's just round. And then he wanted to fight the one guy because he stole his Loverboy tape. You know?
Was Malenko like, Canadian? What? Was Malenko Canadian?
No.
So it made even less sense.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, no sense at all. I mean, we're up here laughing about it because we're watching WCW Nitro or whatever live, and he's trying to fight Lenny Lane because Lenny Lane borrowed his Loverboy tape and didn't give it back. So now they're going to have to, now you're going to pay Lenny Lane, you know, and you know, 3/4 of the crowd's like, what the hell's Loverboy? But up in Canada, we're all popping huge, right? Because it's like hilarious.
Are they a Canadian band?
Yeah.
What's their hit?
Working for the Weekend.
All I know about Loverboy is Metallica fucking hated them.
Really?
Metallica fucking hated Loverboy, man. There's like the recording of the Black album. They're hanging out with Bob Rock, and they have a Loverboy album taped to the fucking dartboard, and Lars is sitting there fucking throwing darts at it.
It was funny speaking with. I kind of like Metallica. I was always a big Metallica guy, but it was like when. What's that documentary? That Making of a Monster or whatever.
Some kind of monster.
Some yeah. Oh, do they come across like the most pretentious douchebags ever?
It broke. Like heavy metal at that time in my life was like why I would wake up, and it broke my heart to watch that. I was like, these guys are like. Fucking California pussies. Like, this is so sad to watch this. Like, you guys are arguing about fucking who's drinking beer in the studio. Like, and you guys have to talk to a fucking sports therapist to make a fucking shit, a pure shit album?
Well, like, Hetfield and Lars just come across like the two biggest douchebags.
They do. They really do. And I still watch that movie to see if it changes, like, every now and again, just to be like, what? But there's something about those two dudes where they either...
Well, then, like, right after that, like, that's when Lars got after LimeWire and shit, and, like, or not LimeWire.
Napster, you fuck.
Napster, yeah, yeah. You know, and that, although I understand why he did it, but at right. the time, that was just more heat, right? It's like, oh, look at these clowns, right?
I think he saw what's happening now where you can't be a musician because, unless you're Metallica, you have no shot. You can get your music heard. Like, say my band Artillery Breath, like a shit ton of people listen to us, but I make like $13 a year off that band because everything's fucking free.
Well, that's the thing. Unless you're touring, you're only making your money touring,
right? And even if we toured, if we didn't have enough T-shirts, it's basically a T-shirt business. If you went out and went, we'd go play, you know, East Coast tour. You'd come home even after paying for gas and trying to fucking live, unless you had fucking 4 T-shirts, and then you'd come home with like you know $300 each. Like, oh, cool! I just spent 2 months of my life on which is. Really fun and a good time and a great experience. I got to see a lot of shit, but it's like, fuck, I lost a lot of money doing that shit.
You're chasing the dream, right? Well, it's just like a minor league hockey player, right?
Right.
Those dudes aren't making any money, but they're chasing the dream. And then after you get to a certain point, it's like, oh, now I'm just going to do it because I don't want to grow up and get a real job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, though, you're 30 years old and you're looking in the mirror and it's like, okay, now I got to get a real job and I have like no freaking job experience at all.
Yeah. I can ride in a van really well, sir.
Yeah, you know, and that's, like, going back to what I was talking about with, like, Carcillo and guys. And even, that's funny, like, I've even talked to guys on Twitter just privately with these guys.
Now, why did Carcillo block you? I'm so confused about that. Him and...
Well, because he was talking about, you know, whatever, and, like, they're bringing up fighting, what fighting should be in that lawsuit and everything else. And I know the guys that are in the lawsuit.
Yeah, so do I. And I know the lawsuit's like a... No here, no, you know, don't speak, whatever. But it's so the
yeah.
There's a group of people suing the NHL.
Yeah, and it's like and my, you know, and I don't know the documents, and nobody does. So I always laugh that they play those videos from the deposition with the GMs and stuff, and it's like, oh, see, well, what? That's just like Brian Burke's, yeah. And
so what did Carcillo say?
The 70s and 80s guys might be able to say, hey, we didn't know, but nobody playing now can say they don't know about head trauma.
Right. But even the dudes in the 90s probably didn't know. Do you think?
Well, maybe not. But I mean, any lawyer will tell you ignorance isn't a defense.
Yeah, I don't think any of them wouldn't have done it.
No. Well, and I said every year, that was my point. The NHLPA puts out that where they get all their members to vote and whatever. Well, every year it's almost 100% in favor of fighting. Well, then you can't turn around when your career's done and say, well, no, they made me. Well, to me, that's like, no, you got to take some responsibility for yourself. You took the money, you accepted the risks. I'm sorry you got hurt and everything else. I'm not trying to sound callous. I mean, I feel bad for the guys, but you knew what you're getting into. Like, I mean, at any rate, I don't care what year it was. Everybody knows getting punched in the head isn't good for you.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That, I mean, that's like, it doesn't matter if it was 1950 or 2018. You know,
everybody saw the old timey boxers. Everybody saw Muhammad Ali.
Right.
Well, yeah, so I wonder what that's from. I mean, it didn't take, you know, two and two here. Like, come on. My only thing is with these guys where I think they have, like, I don't know how they could win the lawsuit. Like, I don't know. And I know Parker's in it and the stuff like that. And I'm not trying, I know if you listen, I'm not knocking you, Scott. I'm not trying to say that. But if... Now, and this is the thing, and the public doesn't know this, and I mean, obviously this will be a court thing or whatever. It's one thing if the doctors knew and they didn't tell you, or if they forced you to play even when they knew you were hurt. Okay, well now we're talking, now you got a case, because now that's bullshit. But if it's like you were hurt and you didn't tell anybody and you kept playing, well, you got to start taking some responsibility for yourself too.
Right, I mean, in a lot of cases, these guys played hurt because they didn't want to get sent back down to the minors.
Well, I understand the athlete's mindset. I mean, I've had concussions, and I played too, and I didn't sit out either.
Right.
And this is just goddamn, like, you know, high school football or senior baseball.
Right.
But it was just like you have that mentality of, like, but you didn't really know the long, you didn't, nobody thought about long-term CTE effects or anything like that. All you knew is you had a headache.
Right.
And it's like, all right, but I got to get back out there. Well, that's my fault. You know, and it's like, so what am I going to do? Oh, can I go sue the Football Saskatchewan? I mean, what are we doing here? Because if this is the case, if that's the case, well, then every hockey league in the world could get sued now, because anybody who's played contact hockey has had head trauma. So what are we going to do? Sue every league now? Because we didn't know. Well... But if you didn't know, why should the GMs know? Why would they know? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, where does this end? you know, like I said, it's one thing if the doctors knew or they forced you to play. Okay, well, that's a whole different, that's not what we're, that's a whole different other talking point. But just this very fact that, oh, we played, we got head trauma, now you owe us money. Well, you kind of knew that going in, and, you know, you accepted the risks. And I'm sorry that these guys got hurt. And that was my point with Carcillo. I'm in full agreement with what he's doing. And I feel bad that the guys are hurt. And I'm not trying to sound callous. But I said there has to be some accepting responsibility on both sides here. And that's what he blocked me for.
Wow. Really?
Well, and he's sitting there saying, oh, I want to hear other people's opinions on this. Well, I give you one and you block me. Well, so clearly you don't want to hear other people's opinions. And I've seen other, and I've had a million replies to Carcillo that I never tweeted at him, that I just deleted and kind of, you know, whatever. But I saw Bissonnette took a piece out of him. Brandon Prust got mad at him. Patrick O'Sullivan got mad at him today, and that was his best man at his wedding.
I saw O'Sullivan kind of tear into him a little bit today.
Yeah, and they're best friends.
Now, what was he tweeting today that was getting everybody stirred up?
Well, he blocked me. I couldn't see it. I don't know.
See, that's why I followed him today, because I never had followed Carcillo. And I followed Sullivan, and Bissonnette got mad at him too?
Well, because he I don't know the whole thing, but he had privately, they had gone back and forth because Bissonnette wanted to get him on the show and talk about your thing that you're doing and blah, blah, blah. Well, then, and Carcillo was going back and forth with him, but at the same time, Carcillo all of a sudden started tweeting and said, oh, I guess you don't want me on the show to spill the truth. And Bissonnette was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, I invited you on to come on any time. Here are the DMs talking about it.
Right.
And he, Carcillo's making his case look really, he's not doing his mission any favors with some of the stuff that he's doing.
You don't think he's on shit, maybe tweeting a little tuned up?
Well, I think.
I guess it's wrong to assume, I guess, but.
Well, but I think he probably maybe has some issues.
And Bissonnette's very open, and since he's, and Spittin' Chiclets, I've always listened to it, but that show has become a better hockey podcast because of Paul Bissonnette.
Bissonnette's great. Like I said a million times before he got the Arizona job, why Sportsnet would never hire this guy is beyond me. And Terry Ryan should be doing their own hockey show.
He should be on every TV screen every night.
Oh yeah, well you just watched that him and Tyson Nash kill it with Arizona.
Oh, how beautiful is that? They are the most popular thing I think about Coyotes hockey is two former players.
Oh, and they're great. Yeah, and they do that bedtime with Nash. Those are hilarious.
That shit's hilarious.
But it's like, idiots, that's what you could have had. Instead, no, we got goddamn Jim Houston on the air. Are you kidding me?
And
Terry Ryan's just as good, and you should have put the two of them together.
Yeah, Terry Ryan's awesome. And Dummy, and guess what? That's what people want to see is Tyson Nash and Bissonnette doing independent, things that they just want to do. It's not always going to be some dirty, crazy shit. Like they know that kids are going to be watching it too. I mean, it's got a certain thing to it, but like Bissonnette's fully aware of his range of what he does on the radio or the Tyson Nash thing. And he cuts loose a little bit more on Spittin' Chiclets because, you know, 7-year-olds aren't really listening to podcasts yet. Not yet, at least. No. But
And the thing is what makes people gravitate to it is because they have credibility.
Right. The credibility is huge.
With him and Nash or like a Terry Ryan is they're old school, but they can still bleed into the new thing, right? So they still understand and like Cherry's an old guy and he can't relate to the new guys. I mean, you get older guys like that where it's, you know, they're still fun to listen to. They got old stories, but yeah, Don isn't, you know, he isn't 2018.
And Bissonnette's lucky to have his role when he was making it and breaking it and getting in was old school, but his mentality is new school. Bissonnette would love to drop 50 goals on you, but guess what? He couldn't do it in the NHL, so he fucking fought. And he played in the minesies, and he went and played overseas, did it as long as he could until he couldn't fucking move his arms anymore. I think he had shoulder issues, which is not uncommon, but...
Well, that's what everybody forgets. He was a junior all-star. He was an East Coast League all-star. Like, this, that was a good player.
What, in Cardiff one year, he dropped, like, fucking 50 goals or some crazy shit.
And then it just became but he understood what it took to get to make the league, and he was with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh was really soft, so it was like, well, if I fight, they'll keep me around. And they did.
And he made
some NHL money for a while. And the thing was, what I never understood with, like, Phoenix when they had him, it's like, okay, well, you couldn't draw flies if you were dipped in shit.
They
Phoenix.
Scratched him way too many times.
But it's like, regardless if they scratched him or whatever, he is the guy that I would send out on every promotion. I would send him to every radio show in the morning, just constantly talking and talking and talking. It's the only reason why I'd have him was to do PR.
Well, I think they realized their blunder, and that's why he's on payroll now. Because of how...
Well, finally, yeah. Well, that was Arizona's best move to do, was to get him. Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't believe, like, up here in Canada, like, because... Why Sportsnet wouldn't give him his own bloody show? Are you serious? I mean, they'll give friggin' Dart Guy a show, but you don't give Paul Bissonnette a show?
Dart Guy has a show on TSN.
Oh, him and that Stevie Dangle or something. They each have their own goddamn shows on Sportsnet or something.
Does Big Rand know
TSN
that?
TSN radio? I don't know. Big Rand never comes on here to tell us anything. So.
Oh, if he finds out Dart Guy is on TV show, he'll fucking lose it.
Yeah, well, I think it's a radio show or something, but he's got something. Because that's the only reason I know who he is.
From smoking, from having a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah. So it's like, and apparently, well, how many followers that dude have? Apparently it's popular.
A bajillion.
I mean, I'm not going to knock the guy. I don't even know who he is. But it's like, whatever. But it's like, okay, you'll give these guys shows, but no, Bissonnette or Terry Ryan. Are we being serious here? Like, Jesus.
And you look at, like, you said he's like the credibility. The best part of what Bissonnette does is he's getting dudes like Colton Orr on the show. You know, not to like toot the horn of a podcast that's doing better than me, but they're the best segments they have are when it's Bissonnette talking with dudes like Colton Orr about how they made it, you know, and you can, because you'll get Blake Wheeler on and it's like talking to a fucking wheel of cheese. But then you get Colton Orr on, and you can basically press record and let the fucking guy go.
Well, that's always been the, sort of the thing with the tough guys, the enforcers and stuff, because they're kind of the everyman, right?
Right.
Because they never, like, I mean, yeah, they grew up, obviously, they were the best players in their bantam teams and shit like that. But, I mean, they understood why and how they made it, and it's kind of like the underdog thing, right?
Yeah.
And people could recognize, like, the fighter. And they can all, everybody can say whatever they want, but everybody likes the fighters.
That's just the fact.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, and they're usually the most humble because it's like they understand they're always on the bubble, forever on the bubble. So constantly. They're, you know, they're a lot more grounded in reality than Mr. Superstar.
And like Colton Orr's story, man, he didn't start playing until he was like 11 years old.
Yeah.
That's a fucking... In Canada, that's... You might as well not have ever played.
No, exactly.
That's like me trying to play now. Like, I mean, basically. Like, oh, okay. I can play.
Yeah. No, and it was, really late. And just think, like, to start at 11 or 12, literally 5 years later, he's in the Western Hockey League.
Right.
You know, because he was in the WHL at 18.
Right.
So it's like, you know, that's fighting in swift current. So it's like... Yeah, that's not a big learning curve. You know, the thing could be made that back, you know, at that time period, kind of in that early late 90s, early 2000s, you know, they were really starting to pigeonhole the role. So you legitimately had, like, nuclear missiles.
Yeah.
Like Mike Tyson on skates is basically what they were going with Colton Orr and Bugar and guys like that. Because, I mean... Although Boogie could skate pretty good for a big dude. I mean, as in terms of, like, actual hockey skill, you know, and it was like, these guys are, like, trained fighters is basically right. What it comes down to.
It's like
you could say Probert and Berube and Domi and all these guys. Well, all those guys played regular shifts when they were in junior. And some of them were an all-star. Like, John Kordick was an all-star.
Yeah, Bob Probert.
Darren Kimball had 40 goals. Jeff Odgers had 40 goals in junior.
Well, yeah. Probert 1 year dropped 30 and fucking 30-30 and was got a picture with Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky at the All-Star game.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, like or like what I was talking about before, like Brad May with his 300 minutes. But yeah, he had 97 points too.
Yeah.
So it's like these guys all played top line, but when they got to the NHL, it was like, okay. And like Craig Berube had 40 goals 1 year. So it wasn't like these guys were like, but then the Colton Orrs and Bougards, well, they were the, even in junior, they were like 5-10 minute guys, you know, and it became, the role became a lot more pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot, and so yeah, they were designated fighters, and that debate could be had whether that was right or wrong or whatever. But that's just at that time period, that's what was going on.
It happened.
So yeah, it did. And well, yeah. So there's no point. No, let's put it in the closet and not talk about it.
Yeah, well, it happened. It absolutely happened.
Sure. And at the time they were still needed. And they were. Last time I checked, everybody in Toronto. When Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren started those games, I didn't hear anybody booing.
Who didn't a Toronto boy win the first Bob Probert Invitational?
No, McGrattan did.
Oh yeah, that's right. McGrattan and his fucking Twitter clan.
Yeah, well, yeah. So old the Bob Probert 2.0 here that's coming up here as soon as these playoff games are over. Old Big Earn sitting this one out. We won't dress Big Earn for this tournament.
No, Bigger's got to take a back seat.
I said, actually, everybody who's won the tournament, like Wendell Clark, all those guys aren't going to be in this one. We're going to go with we're going to have still some, a whole bunch of the same guys, but there's going to be like 20-some new guys too, so.
Can Jared Bull get in?
Jared Bull is in. I'm looking at the list I've written down right now.
Fuck yes.
Trying to do some new stuff. And
I had tickets to the Memorial Golf Tournament here in Columbus last week, and the second day, it was Tuesday, and you could go down and in between hole 10 and 11 or some shit like that, it was Brandon Dubinsky, currently of the Columbus Blue Jackets, and Jared Bull actually lives in Columbus still, was there. And I know you know, and most of the listeners know, Jared Bull is one of my favorite, just from not growing up a Blue Jackets fan, but becoming a Blue Jackets fan, and Jared Bull being the best fighter they've had, him and Jody. And I was like, oh my God. And then I realized, like, my wife worked that night and my car broke down. And I was just like, God, that's how fucking it works. My one opportunity to go meet Jared Bull and talk to him and just take a picture, and I got shit on.
You got to get him on the biscuit.
Supposedly it's in the works, so keep your fingers crossed.
There you go. I was going to say, oh, you should have told me. I said I could have hooked you up with a bunch of fight pictures and shit. Could have printed those off. They'd look top shelf. I have a bunch of Jared Bull fight pictures.
Oh, well, you got to burn me another DVD of Jared Bull fight pictures then. You got one of him
I have your fight DVD sitting right here.
You got one of him destroying Tutu. That's one of my favorite beatdowns when Tutu was in Detroit.
I don't know. I know I have a bunch of Jared Bull fight pictures, though. On my hard drive here, it's like I have literally like 1,000 hockey fight pictures. Obviously, because that's what I tweet all the time. Yeah. I type in a name and go Google search it and put that picture up. I mean, I do that sometimes, but no, those are all from like a friggin' file that I have downloaded.
That's incredible. You got to get on Vimeo, dude.
What the Christ is that?
It's YouTube, but not YouTube. So like you could put up all your hockey fight shit and actually do it.
Well, I laugh. YouTube sends me a thing. Oh, congratulations on your 1,000th subscriber. I'm like, oh, awesome. I can't upload anything, but I keep getting subscribers. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, because the work that's been put on there is, I mean, stupid good, but I still don't. They won't even tell you why you can't upload anymore.
They won't even reply to me. I've sent like a million emails to their help center like, okay, this is what message I keep getting. I know other people use the same VLC media and they don't have any issues. Why am I having issues? And like my account's in good standing. I don't have any strikes against me or anything. It's like, it just keeps saying file format not recognized. Well, this is the same file format that I've used for 1,808 videos. Never had an issue. Now all of a sudden I'm having one. Like, why? You know, It doesn't matter what computer I use. I've tried different ones. No.
Man, that's fucked.
Yeah, so I don't know. And like I said, they won't reply. And oh, well. But yeah, but I keep getting like all these. I've gotten like 300 subscribers since it happened. I haven't uploaded anything new, and I've gotten like 300 subscribers. It's like, oh, okay. So yeah, so I have like 1,010 subscribers.
Well, like you
without,
said,
without like, adding any content since like what, October?
Yeah, basically the beginning of the hockey season was when shit started to get weird there.
Yep.
And it was.
And it sucks because I have like a ton of DVDs with some cool shit that like isn't on YouTube. Like, no one's seen any of this shit.
See, that's a fucking shame, man. That has to be fixed. And that's like you said, you have, like, what, 1,800 videos? That's why, I mean, I watch every couple of days just to go through shit that I know I've never seen. I've never seen most of that shit, you know, because nobody has. Unless you write that.
Unless you were, like, a fight DVD collector, or fight VHS collector, which, I mean, how many, what 1%?
Right.
I mean, well, so, like, other than us fight geeks.
Or you were at that game, exactly.
Like I said, I got a bunch of like Ty Domi Peterborough stuff from the OHL I'd love to put up. It'd be great because he follows me now on Twitter. And it's like, well, I'd love to show you your shit, but, you know.
Ty Domi does?
What's that?
Ty Domi does?
Ty Domi does what?
Follows you.
Yes.
Holy fuck, dude.
So does Bissonette.
Holy fuck, dude. That's incredible.
Well, there's a reason why Bissonette's in Bob Probert 2.0.
Dude, and I'll be voting for him. I've had conversations with him, but
Bissonette might win the whole thing. He might pull the McGrattan this year.
He very may well. I don't think he follows me because I'm a podcast, but I've talked to him a few times about like the TV show he was doing and Artillery Breath music and shit like that. But Bissonette's a fucking great dude.
Yeah, he, thing is, I mean, despite not having my podcast going, it says in my biography part about a podcast.
Oh, okay, well, maybe he just doesn't fucking like me.
So,
maybe he just started,
it was like literally 3 weeks ago. I think I put a picture of him and Crosby up from like the preseason one time. And then he sent me a direct message saying, hey, thanks for the picture or whatever.
Hell yeah.
Because it was funny because he went and tweeted the picture, but like with his own tweet. Like, not mine, but with something. But he used the picture. I was kind of a little hot, right? Because I was like, oh, shit. Well, why don't you just retweet mine?
Right.
Because you have, like, how many? Well, you have a million followers.
Exactly.
It's like, why don't you retweet my shit? Because then I could get, you know, I could get some of the spotlight, right? But he didn't. But he did DM me and was like, hey, thanks for the picture, blah, blah, blah. And we actually kind of went back and forth. And then I noticed he was following me. So I was like, all right.
That's how I got into a conversation with Mike Commodore. He had said something about Jared Borg, that pack your shit thing. And I said, whoa, bro. I said, what the fuck? That was your dude from Columbus. Like, why are you doing? And he sent me a DM and said, listen, Jared told me to tweet it out. It's all cool. And then we talked and it's actually strange when them dudes, not strange at this point, but it's always cool to know that, like, you can actually reach people. That's the thing that most people need.
Yeah, for sure. And like I was saying on the other episodes before, it was like, yeah, that's been the biggest treat for me on here was to be able to, you know, well, especially like to show these guys, like to put up pictures that they've never seen of themselves or the big thing for us, obviously, was the fights, right?
Right.
Because they had never, like, other than obviously being in them, but I mean, they had never seen their junior shit. It's one thing if they're in the NHL because all that shit's on YouTube. But right. Yeah, to throw up like Colt Nord all of a sudden see his Swift Current stuff again, or for Scott Parker to see his Kelowna shit again. I mean, that was a big deal for those guys. Well, right?
That was crazy. I put a clip, I think, of the DVDs that you had sent me of Scott Parker, you know, sitting here drinking beer on Friday night on Instagram, you know, back when he's wearing number three,
yep.
And his wife sends me a text. She goes, you got to send me these DVDs. And she sends me a text later and goes, oh, Parks just said he already had. But she hadn't even seen those fights. Like, that's how fucking crazy it was.
Yeah, it was funny because I took a picture of, like, the 96-97 Kelowna Rocket DVD. And, yeah, he got a hold of me and he wants it. So it was like, I was surprised he didn't have it, actually. But, yeah, so I'm going to burn those for him. But I got that, like, that set that I sent you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do up, like, a cover for it and the labels. I'll make it look all cool and shit when I send it to him. So.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And congratulations.
I was going to say this fight DVD I got for you now, you'll be down with it because it's got a bunch of death metal and stuff, all music videos.
Well, that's not to. I'm sure nobody's listening at this point this deep into it, but that's a thing we're going to kind of do with.
This episode's got to be two parts, man. No one's going to listen to like a 2.5 hour
idiot. I'm a Joe Rogan this one, man. Fucking put it out in one. They'll either listen or they won't. But that's what I want to start getting into, start cutting some film with music that I like. Just because you get on YouTube and there's plenty of like highlight shit for hockey, but all of it has like, it's Eye of the Tiger every fucking time.
Yeah.
It's always fucking Eye of the Tiger. There's no fucking good tunes.
You can only get down to Rocky Like a Hurricane so many times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. Well, we probably should wrap this one up here, I guess. We're going on 2.5. I think definitely.
Shit, let's go. We're going all night.
I'm about to crack another one.
I was gonna say I got like, oh, where's my wife? Tell her to grab me one. I got like 7 to go.
Well, what do you?
Did we ever actually wrap up the Eric Lindros talk?
Oh, fuck, boy. I mean,
we've already gone down that rabbit hole. We've given up on that.
Was this the Eric Lindros episode?
I don't even remember.
See, this
is the Labatt profanity episode.
You know, for now on, after this one, I'm just going to put Fourth Line Voice, Labatt and profanity. That's going to be the name. I'll basically just start. Joe Rogan does his MMA podcast. But it's the same exact fucking podcast that he always does, but he just started numbering them different because a lot of his listeners don't like fighting. So I'm just going to start numbering ours different. Like episode 1 of Labatt and Profanity will be the next one we do.
There we go. I was listening to the last episode that I was on. It was right before I left for Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, man, that was wild because we were out there in February.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me about Vegas.
Well, it was like so long because I got to pee again. Was like, because I've been to Vegas every year we go in February for like 7 straight years. So it's like no one gave a shit about hockey. Like before this, like before they had the Knights, you didn't see hockey. I mean, you go into the sports book and they might have one TV on with hockey down in the corner. You know, no one cared. Although I will say, like the local team, the Wranglers, the East Coast League team, they always drew pretty good. You know, they'd get 3,000-4,000 people at their games like that. But it was, you know, that's 3,000 or 4,000, not 20, you know. But they always did all right. But you never hear, like, it wasn't like they were on the news or any of that shit, right? Although, despite they had really good promotions, I went to a few Wrangler games, actually. They were pretty fun. And it was more of a, like, only in Vegas could you do this shit. It wasn't like like when you're used to like Saskatchewan and Canada and stuff. Yeah, it was a little different. Like they had like 21 and older night. Like they had women dancing in cages and shit. It was wild.
Yeah, that's the kind of depravity that happens in Las Vegas. That's why I didn't understand this whole hatred to the long intro the other day.
Well, that was the thing. It's like, obviously, you've never been to Las Vegas.
Clearly.
Like somebody said, oh, I don't know. It's really excessive and gaudy. I'm like, are you serious? I said, I think that's Nevada's state motto, isn't it?
Well, that's what my wife, she's never been to Las Vegas. And we were watching the intro, and she goes, this is the definition of extra. And I said, yeah, that's exactly what they are. Las Vegas is everything plus.
Yep. Well, everything. And I mean, that's why I love it so much. Because it's like the one place left in this world that isn't politically correct.
Oh, when you're walking into CVS with a beer in your hand to go buy fucking Excedrin for your hangover, and it's just cool, yeah, and it's fine, you can drink beer anywhere you want.
Oh, they have a flat deck truck that goes up and down the strip with strippers on the pole.
On the strip?
Yes, it's a flat deck truck with cased in glass, and there's chicks dancing on the pole. I mean, they're not getting naked, but they're like, you know, next to. And they're advertising like Glitter Gulch and shit. Yeah.
Do you stay on the strip when you go?
No, I stay off the strip at the Orleans. that's where the rink is, where the Wranglers used to play. I mean, it's a casino and everything. It's like a locals place. It's only like 5 minutes off the strip. But you get like way cheaper, and it's like, I dig the place, though. It's awesome. It's like the local vibe and shit. But yeah, the rink's attached to it. So that's why I would go to Wrangler games.
Fuck yeah. Now, see, I've only been to Vegas once, and it was the restaurant I used to work at. Have I told this story to you?
No.
But they, so my boss was the shit. She's the best. Probably future sponsor of the show, Fast Eddie's Pizza out of Belleville, Ohio. But so there's a food convention in Las Vegas every year. So she sends people from the restaurant to go because it's a fucking tax write-off. You know what I mean? So I had worked there from the time I graduated in 2005. So I started there January that year because I moved out of my mom's house before I graduated. And so I was 17 and started there. Worked there for like fucking 8 years or something like that. Only job I ever had. And I was like, listen, if you don't send me to Las Vegas this year, I'm fucking quitting. So she sent me, and I got to go with my little brother, Big Rand. So Big Rand and I are in Vegas together. Free flight, free fucking, and I don't know if it's a tax write-off. I'm just talking out of my ass. Not that anyone's going to be listening at 2:23, but so we get out there, and we stay on the strip at Excalibur. I've never been to Vegas. Big Rand had actually got to go through the restaurant before me somehow. Good kiss and ass. And holy fuck, dude. We're just raging up and down the street, just slamming beer. And Big Rand, believe it or not, is a degenerate gambler. So he's walking in. We just start walking in every casino down the way. 100 on black. He strikes the whole way back. We walk down to Fremont Street from Excalibur. If you know it, it's a very fucking crazy long walk. We go back, and then he tries to buy some weed from some fucking dude, and shit goes bad. And there's almost a fight, and then they end up getting this weird weed. And so that was my Vegas experience with Big Rand. It's just, you can't fucking take that guy anywhere. I was like, why do you, it's 4 a.m, what do you need weed for? Just go to sleep. And all the money he had won walking down the strip, he sits down in one slot machine and goes, I'm going to win and burn it all out.
Yeah.
Burn it all out. Burn every fucking penny.
Yeah, well, I was that's the thing, like, growing up, like, I worked at a casino here in town for, like, 10 years. So, I mean, I saw all the sad cases and everything else, right? So it really kind of prepared me for, like, the gambling thing. Like, as much as I like to gamble and everything else, I'm well aware of how much I've spent, how much I've lost. I can control it, right? Because I've seen so much sad shit that it's like, okay, this is what I can afford to lose. Like, when the wife and I go, it's like, we have this money set aside. Because you, like I always say, when you go to Vegas, expect to lose this all. You're not going to win.
I lost every penny I took.
Yeah, if you win, it's great, but expect to lose it. So you go there, you know, and that's the thing with our exchange rate. It's so brutal. But it's like this year, last couple, it was good for a couple years, but shit's the last couple. But it's
yeah, what's wrong with your guys' money?
What's that?
Why is your guys' money suck?
Well, it does right now. Yeah, it's 78 cents to your dollar.
Why?
I have no idea, because I don't know. I think Canada's probably doing better than the U.S. is right now. I'm not quite sure how it works. Well, that's just the way the banks operate. I'm not sure. Actually, in terms of for a government, you'd actually want it lower, because it's more importing-exporting. I mean, you know, but it ain't no good right now, because Trump put the tariffs and shit on, so there's a big fight going on right now.
Yeah, that tariff shit's getting pretty crazy, isn't it?
Idiocy. Idiocy. I'm not even going to get into Trump. I'm not even going to talk about that.
But then Trudeau said something about it, and I was like, oh, he just poked
the fuck. Then Canada put it back onto the U.S. to put their own tariffs on.
So yeah, you fucking poked the Trump bear, so then he's going to go even fucking crazier.
I think it'll get straightened out, but hopefully, because it's not good for anybody. But
it's all a dog and pony show, man.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is that the same dog and pony?
Dog and pony show, yeah.
Is that like a porn thing?
No, I don't know. You probably have to pay extra, but yeah.
So, what's your fucking game in Vegas, bud?
Blackjack, I guess. But it's like, for the most part, when
that's
I go to
like,
Vegas.
Blackjack's like pure gambling. That's like count, like skilled, and you have to like know what the dude beside you is playing if you're trying to beat the fucking dealer.
But it's like, I was never really, I'm the shits of poker and shit. I don't have the patience for it. But it's like, for the most part now, like I've been there so many times. Like for us, the big thing is to get out of the snow and the cold for 7 days. That's just nice to get out of the snow. And
you guys got fucking hammered this year, didn't you?
Oh, well, we always do every year, but it was like, it was just extra cold. Like they said, this is the coldest winter in 100 years. Like it was just brutal this year. It was so, you're used to, it's like -40 when it's like -40 for 3 straight weeks. It's like just ridiculous.
And you work outside too. So it's like,
So going to Vegas was all of the bit. Actually, the weather wasn't that good this year when we were there. I mean, obviously it wasn't -40, but it was like, 10, 12, normally it's in like kind of low 20s, 18, 19, which is perfect fat guy weather. So it's like perfect for me.
Are you talking about fucking Celsius?
No, what do you got, Fahrenheit? No, yeah. I'm talking American speak now, trying to keep it easy for your listeners.
It was 18 when you were in fucking Las Vegas?
Normally, it wasn't this year, it was like 12.
12 degrees?
Yeah.
That's cold as fuck.
Not when you leave -40, it's not.
Las Vegas gets that cold?
Shit, it got down to 0 one night when we were there.
Fuck.
Well, you're there in February, not August. It wouldn't be that cold now. I was there in February.
Well, dude, I guess I went there in March, and it was cold.
Well, to you. Not to me, it's not. Believe me, like, when we're down there, and I'm in the mall, I'm wearing, like, shorts and a t-shirt. And these people are walking around in hoodies and shit looking at me like I'm a moron.
You're walking around your fucking Las Vegas Golden Knights shirt on, weren't you?
Well, I can tell you this year when we went, that's all I saw everywhere was goddamn night shirts and hats. And that's I even tweeted it. I went back and we got the open up the wife's laptop and I got on Twitter and I just said, I know some of these clowns that I just saw in the mall wearing this night's gear I fought with on Twitter.
That's what they're saying. They're saying that city's fucking Golden Knight crazy.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, because, and we, like I said, from the year, like, we went for 8 straight years or however many years we've gone. But this year, I really noticed it because it was like, oh, and you go to the outlet mall, that big, the famous outlet mall that everybody talks about at the end of the strip. We went to that. Shit, this year they had a whole store that was just Knights. Knights gear.
Is that the one
for Raiders? Because they're getting the Raiders too, right? So Raiders and Knights everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
like you go into Walmart. They had a whole night section. Actually, speaking of which, I got something for you. I got to send that with your fight DVD. Yeah, I got shit from Vegas Hills sitting here for you. You and Dan from the Obey the Puck show. Yeah.
Although everybody listening, if you don't listen to Obey the Puck, you very well should. It's a fucking great show.
Oh, they're nice guys. Yeah, they're the PG version of the biscuit. Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hardcore porn's the fucking PG version of the biscuit.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you've been listening for a long time. Think about the old ones. It used to be way worse.
Oh, yeah. I can remember the first time I ever listened to you, your title was Worst Podcast Ever. And I listened to it, and it was like you for like 12 minutes just talking about nothing to yourself.
Oh my god, dude, I'll never forget that show. That was like episodes 15 or 16 or something like that. It really wasn't that long ago.
And you said, if anybody can listen to this whole thing, I'll send you something.
Yeah, and I had
So I sent you a DM. I was like, hey dude, I listened to the whole thing.
I had 5 people listen to it, and nobody wanted what I was going to send them.
I know, you offered. You're like, what's your address? I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. But that's how we got talking, and that's when I started following you.
Well, that episode was a turning point in this podcast, too, because I remember coming out to the studio and doing it and being like, all the ones before that, I had, like, at least, like, prepared of the topics that I wanted to do. And then, like, I got, like, cocky and was like, because from playing music, I'm like, I just go on stage and play music, or it doesn't fucking matter.
I'm going to freestyle this bitch.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm just going to fucking just go. I'm just going to press record and go. and I had nothing. And it you can go back. I didn't delete it. It's still part of the history of the show. And it is called the worst, and it probably is the worst podcast of all time. And it's like 15 or I think I call like three people and they don't answer.
Oh, it's atrocious. But I'm listening to it. I'm like, this guy's kind of funny, but it's kind of pathetic. But it's like, but I'm like, I don't know why. I'm amused by you. So, because before that, I don't think I'd ever we had never talked on Twitter or anything.
No,
I didn't know how I found it. Actually, I'm not sure why.
I think that's a circumstance because I know I probably followed you. And then I don't know how you stumbled upon it. Who knows? I mean, that somebody probably retweeted it. That I have no idea. I got lucky, I guess.
I don't know, but it was funny. And I can remember sending you a direct message. It's like, oh yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is, speaking of freestyling, literally, I keep going on and on about wanting to start my podcast, and I've literally done the opening episode 10 times, and it sits here on my, and I don't upload it to I got to figure out iTunes and all that. I have a website, fourthlinevoice.com. I own. I pay for every month.
I've been to it.
Yeah. And it's waiting for my shit. And I paid for it for a year. I've not put anything on it. And it's I keep waiting and I don't even know. And I just forget about it. And then I kind of who cares? I don't want to do it.
Well, that was kind of that plateau of that episode. I was like, you put this out, you're paying for your hosting for the show, right?
Yep.
And I was like, don't ever do that again. I was like, not to toot my own horn, but I was like, you can do this show. I can fucking make this work. Don't fucking do that again. And that was, and that's why I left it up. I didn't delete it. And I forget, there was some stand-up comedian who had done a bad podcast, and he said, if you do it, just put it out because you're going to learn from it. You know, you'll, because the first, 10 or 12, you'll listen back to them and you learn a lot from it. And so I put it out and I was like, fuck, that's so fucking bad. And I knew when I was recording it, it was bad. And I always tell myself, make it better than that. And then every week I just try to make it better than the last week. And it keeps getting bigger. So I'm like, well, you must be doing, better. So it seems to be working.
Oh, yeah. Your episodes have definitely gotten, I've listened to every one of them since then. Oh, yeah. It's like night and day.
Oh, holy fuck. If I think about those, and people ask me because it starts at episode 7, like the iTunes account does. They go, where are those first 6 episodes? I was like, they're on SoundCloud. You can go ahead and waste your time listening to those, but they're fucking pure dog shit. But that one is literally the worst thing I ever recorded.
Well, it's funny, like I said, so I'd sit down, I'd come home from work, and I might have a few talking points written out on a sticky note, but then I turn the microphone on, and I'm doing the introduction, so I'm like, okay, this is going to be my first episode, the big relaunch.
Well, okay, you had a couple on YouTube, right?
Because I wanted to get the account, first of all, I wanted to get the YouTube account going.
Right.
And that's how it was like, okay, but I'm also was trying to figure out, okay, how does this work? Because I'm like a technology idiot, right?
Me too.
So it was like, okay, I wanted to make sure, okay, at least I can get this to work. And I kind of interviewed a few guys, but then the sound didn't sound good. And I'm like, okay, I completely wasted their time,
I still can't figure out how to load my audio onto YouTube.
Oh, yeah. So it was like, okay. And then now all of a sudden YouTube didn't work. So it was like, oh, great. Because I took them down because I don't know what I was going to do. I was going to add something to them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden YouTube didn't work. So it was like, well, now they're not even on there anymore. It's like, oh, okay.
I was going to say, they're not on there now, are they?
No. Well, no, because I took them down because I was going to do – I can't remember what I was going to do to them. And then all of a sudden I couldn't upload anymore. I'm like, well, okay. Now that sucks. So I got the website and all this. I'm like, okay, I got to get serious, get on iTunes and Stitcher, blah, 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 all that shit. I got to get into the podcast game here. So, okay, I got to do my first episode. So my first episode, I'm like, okay, I'm going to introduce myself. This is what the premise of the show is going to be. And just kind of, I'll make it a shorter one, 20, 30 minutes. Okay. So, of course, I start rambling and tell what's the point of the show is, maybe something that happened that day or whatever. Well, I end up talking for with me, right? I start rambling. I end up with an hour. I'm like, okay. So I listen back, and it's like, okay, well, that's not too bad. Well, then I forget to put, I don't put it up or I get busy or whatever. Well, then some of the stuff I'm talking about is time sensitive. So I'm like, okay, well, now I'm going to go back. Okay, I'll redo it. So I do it and that, but it keeps, like, I keep, it expires all the time on me because, like, I had one about the Humboldt thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, now it's like, okay, so now it's sort of expired and, you
yeah.
know, whatever.
See,
so
I missed the boat on that, too, because if you don't do it immediately with the way that, media works now, it's like if you don't make your Humboldt special, like, 2 days later, it's and that tragedy, I think I spoke barely about it, but it's like, holy fuck, man. Can you imagine, like, just the boys traveling on the bus? And
yeah, yeah, and we've all, yeah, it was, no, it was, yeah, it's indescribable. So it's like I had the episode already recorded, and then that happened. So I was going to do it, like, I wasn't going to go on too much about it, but I was going to talk about the Humboldt Strong and the charity events that were going on, and just for like a couple minutes at the start of the show. Well, then I didn't get that up. So now it's like, okay, I got to do something here. But then it's like I've noticed as the playoffs were going on, I'm like, well, there's no point in releasing my brand new show now because no one's paying attention with the playoffs on. Like, you can just see your tweets getting lost and shit. Like, no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
Because all, you know, all of it. Well, I mean, you already have a base or whatever. But when you're brand new and starting, it's like no one's paying attention.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, that's why I keep saying with the Bob Probert thing, and I haven't started that invitational tournament. I'm waiting for the playoffs to finish.
And I think that's a beautiful time to start. Because people are going to, I think maybe even wait a week after the season's over.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are going to want hockey. And they're going to have the invitational.
Well, that's what was so big about it last year, because I did it in August.
It was
not that it was planned. That was just, oh, I got drunk one night, and me and Taylor Brent mentioned it. And, oh, yeah, that'd be funny, and I just did it off the cuff, you know. But it was like, that's what blew up the account.
It finished in September, though, because I remember being in the hospital with my daughter being born.
Well, maybe it was in September I did it. Yeah, because they last for about a week and a bit.
Yeah, so
it was like right around there. But hockey wasn't on, right? So it was like
right. That
became the main focus, and that's what blew my account up. Like, I ended up probably getting 1,200 followers from that.
Well, I remember being in the hospital, like, while my wife's in, like, recovery and with the baby, and I'm like, there's like, I have over 99 fucking notifications from this fucking, because if you leave one comment, you start a whole shitstorm of arguments.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that was like, and so that my feeling going into this was like, okay, promote the new one. I'm going to do it a little earlier, obviously a couple, you know, a week or two after the season's over. Get everybody jazzed, get it going, and then hopefully get some momentum. Like, it's going to bring some traffic to the site or to my Twitter account. And then at the end of that tournament, hey, here's my new podcast. And that's what I'm going to hit them with. And that's when I'll start it.
Well, your podcast is going to be incredible because you have an insight and an interest into that the enforcing side of hockey that nobody has.
Well, it's going to be, like I said, looking at all the round of all the different podcasts that are out there and everything, it's going to be different in the fact that I'm not going to talk about anything current.
Right.
So it's like, oh, I might mention, if something happens, I'll mention the incident or whatever. But I mean, outside of that, it's going to be all older. And whether it be with a follower talking about old hockey fights, or with a player. And I mean, I've talked to a whole shit ton of players. And for the last couple of years, every time I want to get it going, it's like, okay. And they're like, yeah, they're down, right? Like, whether it be Curry or Steve Parsons or Terry Ryan.
Hey, you tell that fuck Curry. He's coming on the biscuit this summer.
Oh, he totally has to. You got to get him to tell some Link Gates stories. He's got some great ones.
I know he knows about them gay clubs in fucking Flint, too. He's always telling me I go to them. I don't think it's the other way, my man.
Yeah, what do they always say? You need options, right? You never know in this world. I've talked to a bunch of players, and every one of them was like, none of them said no. They were all like, yeah, for sure. Just let me know. And I said, I'm going to hook you. Even when I was talking to Parker, I said, I'm not going to sit there and ask you, hey, what do you think of the Avalanche power play from the other night?
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Right. And then
we're going to start back when you started in Kelowna. And I want to talk about Fedoric and Justin Jack and all those guys at Kelowna. Yeah. And then we'll go through Hershey and we'll go up like through your whole timeline of your career and we'll get stories from it.
And the way I always approached it, I was going like, I don't want to talk to Scott Parker once. So this one, if I know that many people don't know that much about Scott Parker. So I'm going to talk to him about nothing. Just talk to him.
Yep.
And I'm not going to be like, who punched you the hardest? That kind of fucking bullshit that like, I cannot stand asked to be like, who hit you the hardest? Like, no, they don't want to answer that. And they've been asked that 1,000 times. So I'd be like, dude, what's your favorite fucking tattoo? You want to see something weird? Look at this tattoo I have. Or, you know, shit like that. Or like, and they, from the players I've talked to, they seem to appreciate being humans more than anything.
Yep.
Because they went for so, like you said, these kids have no choice from the time they're 15 until the time they're kicked out of the league. That they yep. just, they have to do everything they can to keep a job. I mean, yeah, it's a fucking great job playing hockey, but you gotta kind of play the game a little bit.
Well, mentally, it's so hard, right? That's the biggest thing, and that's why there's so many addiction problems with psychological problems. Because I mean, it's mentally tough, right?
I mean, it's unbelievable. I always said, like, if you look at a dude like Sidney Crosby, he's one bad experience away as a kid from being a serial killer. Like, their minds are the same way. The way he approaches hockey and the way that Ed Gein thought about cutting off his mom's skin is like the same way. And I know it's an extreme analogy to make, but they have this psycho mentality about it. And that's what makes them good at something.
Well, the competitive drive that an elite athlete has is unbelievable.
You can't imagine it.
No, I mean, I have friends that played, like, in the elite level. They played junior, they played in the minors. But, I mean, like, you could play those guys in checkers, and it's game
Dude,
seven.
My older brother played college basketball at Division III school in Ohio. If you try to play checkers with him, it's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And that's a Division III college white basketball player. It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And being competitive – and. I hate this fucking turn that the world's making it where being competitive is a negative thing. I do not like it. I don't like where a competitor's edge is seen negative and dirty and gross. I think it's setting sport back.
Like I've said that a million times on Twitter. I mean, it amazes me just on social media, just reading this with these new fans and everything else. It's amazing to me how they've made professional sports. They've just given the NHL like this peewee mentality.
Like I saw that too.
They take their kids to Timbits hockey or whatever when they're 6 years old, and when they get home and watch Hockey Night in Canada, the NHL players should act the same way. It's like ridiculous. Oh, well, he's mean. Why is he doing that?
Some fuckbag got mad at you for that.
What's that?
Some fuckbag got mad at you for that the other day.
Well, they get mad at me constantly about that. And it's like, well, are you serious?
It's completely different.
Like Ryan Reeves or Tom Wilson because they're mean. Well, yeah, so that's the point.
And
we're trying to win something here. Like, yeah. This isn't like I'm saying when you're six, no, don't act like Ryan Reeves.
And it's not like Tom Wilson's a mean dude. He probably tips well, fucking opens doors for old people. But when you hop over that fucking bench, shit's a little different out there.
Of course it is.
And
yeah,
I can't
speak to
it.
They're paying you millions of dollars to win a championship.
Yeah, I can't speak to it.
This isn't about being nice and helping people up. Like when he hit that guy the other night. Oh, and they're all mad about it. No, it's mean. It's so unnecessary.
And did you watch that play?
Yeah.
In real time?
Yeah.
And I talked about it earlier with Chris Banity. I said, there's a thing you're taught when, like, yeah, you made a good pass, but you don't need to sit there and admire it, especially when you know 43 is on the ice. And it might have been a scotch late, and it might have been an interference, and he spent the 2 minutes. But like, you can't sit there and watch a pass
because it was late.
It was late.
It was late.
But,
But so.
Yeah, so.
But that's my point. Like, so what?
It wasn't fucking five strides late.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's like what I was saying before, and like this is what everybody gets mad about. It's like, well, even if it was five strides, so what? Do something about it then, if you don't like it.
Thank you, yeah.
Yeah, well, and if you don't, well, then we're just going to keep beating on you. Like, that's what somebody put on Twitter today. It's like, oh, I noticed Tom Wilson hits everybody but Reeves. Well, he doesn't have to. It's the balls in Reeves' court. Wilson's obviously abusing Vegas.
Yeah.
It's up to Reeves to do something about it.
Yeah, it's not the other way around. Reeves isn't. Yeah, exactly.
If Reeves goes out and tries to fight Wilson, and if Wilson doesn't want to fight him, then Reeves is going to start knocking around Washington guys.
Wilson knows exactly what he's doing.
Go blindside Ovechkin then.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's going to have to come down to. If he's not going to fight you, then it's like, okay, because running Tom Wilson isn't going to do anything.
No.
Wilson's expecting you to. But if you go and run Kuznetsov or whatever his name is, or Brokeback or whoever.
Did you say Brokeback?
Okay, well, so they're going to go back to the bench and look at Wilson like, are you going to do something to this guy? Like, you know, because that's the point. Like Parker talks about that on Ice Guardians. We're running the other enforcer doesn't do anything. No, I'm going to go run your star player. So then your star player is going to come back to the bench and look at you like either knock the shit off because this guy's going to kill me.
Yeah. And well, that's the point. And yeah, Park says it perfectly in Ice Guardians. He's like, listen, your dickhead started doing shit, so I'm going to run your best player. What's the next move? It's a chess game.
Yeah.
What's your next move?
Balls in Reeves' court right now, not in Wilson's.
I totally agree with you, bud.
The problem is now in today's hockey, Reeves knows this. He doesn't need to be told. But the fine line is so, because if he goes and does anything, they'll suspend you forever and blah, blah, blah. So that's the problem nowadays. I was actually really surprised Wilson didn't get suspended with that hit.
I was too. I knew it wasn't suspendable, but I figured they would.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have suspended him for the Pittsburgh thing either. But
no,
whatever.
No, I wouldn't either.
But then everybody goes on and on about how mean he is, and that was my point. I said, well, so what?
Well, I think Batman realized during the final it's the most intrigue, surprise, surprise, is Wilson and Reeves.
Yeah.
So
the violence sells. It always does.
Violence. How popular has boxing always been? Or MMA was when Conor McGregor was fighting.
Red ice sells. That's forever.
Because
talk to anybody about any series. What's the first thing that they always say? All those two teams hate each other.
Yeah, because everyone thinks they can fight. And so when they watch it on TV, it makes them feel like they want to fight if their guy wins. And that's my opinion.
But you feel the emotion, right?
Right.
And you can sense the tension coming. When it's like they hate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different now than it used to be, but I mean, there's still, you know, you get a few series there that are like, because I know I've actually watched a few games when buddies have been around. I've actually watched a few playoff games this year, and I don't know what you guys are watching because that shit's like watching paint dry. Some of these games I've seen. Like, that one of those Winnipeg games was like, oh my God.
Oh, a few of them Winnipeg Nashville games were rough.
Oh, it was horrendous. And I watch it Subban roll around on the ice, and it's like, oh yeah, that's a Norris Trophy candidate, is it?
Right, Chris.
I've watched him cough the puck up three times, roll around the ice like a bitch. But oh yeah, he's.
Chris and I talked about this earlier today, and I said, think about this. At least in this Stanley Cup final, they have Reeves and Wilson. When last year you had PK and Evgeny Malkin try to fight each other in the first game, and it basically was the softest gay porno ever made. It was just like two dudes barely kissing, like they kind of threw their gloves off, but like scratched each other, and it was just embarrassing. It was embarrassing for the sport. It's embarrassing for fighting.
Yeah, no, exactly. So you get... Yeah, so now, like I said, but it's funny when you talk to the media people, they're always like, oh, people, the biggest excitement for everyone is goals.
No.
That's what sells the game is offense and speed. It's like, no, it's not. What sells the game is emotion.
Yeah.
That's what's always going to sell the game.
Yeah.
It has. So people want passion and emotion, which that's the problem in the regular season you don't get. So that's what I always say with the NHL. Oh, so I have to sit through 6 months of horse shit. Oh, because now the playoffs is when it gets good. What other sport in the world is like that?
Are you falling
that
asleep?
That the gameplay is completely different from the regular season to the playoffs.
No, and it shouldn't be that way. And you think about, like, the first 3 months of the year, of the season, dudes are actually allowed to fight because they're trying to, like, make the end of the year roster. It makes no fucking sense.
But you get those games in January and February. I mean, that's like a love-in half those games.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing going on. There's no emotion. There's no nothing.
It's there's almost no reason to watch the NHL in January and February.
No, but then everybody goes, oh, I can't wait for the playoffs. I mean, they never say that in the NFL. I mean, the game doesn't change.
That's why I was hoping Calgary would make it so Tanner Glass could get back on a fucking team this year.
Yeah.
And start fucking doing work.
But, I mean, that's with the rules and the way they've set it up. I mean, that's just the way it is now.
Why do you think Derek England isn't a little more physical? You think he's just old?
Yeah. Yeah, that, and it's like, well, clearly they, you know, they'll keep him around without having to fight. So, hey, if they're going to pay me, then I don't have to do it anymore.
And you think the boys...
The thing is, he's been doing it since he's 17, right?
Right. So you think the boys from the other team know that that's Derek England, he's not really dropping them anymore? Fucking...
He still will, I'm sure.
I'm sure he would.
I mean, he's still hacking and whacking. From what I saw, he's still dirty as shit. It wasn't like it was a free pass in front of the net. And he'll still lay the lumber and everything on you. And he's still... Everybody knows what he... Like, last year he had 10 fights. So it's not like he's completely removed from it. But, I mean...
I don't think he had one this year.
I think he had one. That's exactly what he had, was one, I think.
And he fucking got into it with a zebra tonight, though. He got fucking called on a fucking tripping. And he was just playing good defense. And the fucking dude from Washington stick tripped his own player. But he was playing such good tight defense that how many refs they have out there? 9 now?
Their own team.
So
the dude, their own penalty kill unit.
The dude from center ice called the penalty. Not the fucking two linesmen down. Like, I was like, oh, fucking. And Derek fucking England went off. And I'm a huge, huge Derek England fan. I actually had him in the fantasy league that I beat Brent Curry in until he fucking decided not to fight this year.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about. It's like he literally, like, I could see slowing down, but it was like, oh my God.
He just stopped.
Yeah, and it's like, but hey, if they're going to.
But like you said, if you can do it, why not?
Look, hey, if you don't have to fight, why would you fight? You know, especially when you've been doing it since you're 17. It's like, oh, you're going to pay me this much and I don't have to do this and we're going to win? Well, why would I do that to myself? You know, and then now that they have Reeves, it's like, well, now he really doesn't have to, you know. Right. Well, apparently Reeves doesn't either. I mean, how many fights has Reeves been in since he's been with Vegas? One?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Vegas is so soft, it's like, you know.
Vegas is super soft.
Yeah. I mean, they got Reeves now in England. I mean, they have two tough dudes, but it's like...
Well, they got two of the toughest dudes in the league.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Oh, well, Reeves is the toughest guy in the league, but it's Reeves, like when they got him at the deadline.
There's
but
no argument.
Up to that, before they got him, I mean, Vegas was like...
Baby shit.
They lasted fights or something.
You think that trade was for not for nothing? I mean, they knew they were baby shit, and even if they weren't going to play Reeves, and even if Reeves wasn't going to fucking fight, they needed him in case shit went down. It was like an insurance policy.
Absolutely. And you got Gallant coaching. Gallant knows.
This is my theory, and I don't know. You know, this is coming out of nowhere, but I think Gallant is going to go and be the next Detroit Red Wings coach.
Shit, what would he leave Vegas for?
To go back to Detroit.
He's a Maritimer. What would he go back to Detroit for? What does he give a shit for?
He played there.
Well, I know that, but it's like Detroit or Las Vegas. Are you serious?
That's what Flat Earth Mattia said. He goes, are you fucking retarded? He goes, I don't give a fuck if he played for Detroit or not. Here's your options. Las Vegas, Detroit.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, fuck, you got a point there.
Do I want my house to be worth something or what? Nothing, you know?
Well, Detroit's on the creeping on the come up, man.
Well, I know where to go but up.
But they're getting, what do they call that?
I mean, that's the kind of city they have telethons for.
What do they call it? Gentrification, where... All the because all the communities are so shitty that the poor white hipsters are moving in, but they have daddy's money, so they're like refurbishing these houses for like they're buying the house for like $4,000, and then Papa buys. Detroit's not Detroit anymore.
You could go buy some Kid Rock American Badass beer.
Dude, if I could find it, I would be drinking it right now.
I think he only sells it in Michigan. Didn't he open up the plant there?
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. I haven't been to Michigan in a fucking like half a year, actually.
I've never been to Michigan.
Ever?
But, buddy. No, I haven't been out that far. I've never been out east. I've been all around the states and stuff, but I've never been out east.
Need to go to the UP.
The what?
The Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I've never been there, but my wife tells me it's paradise. I've gone camping off Lake Huron in a Skoda, and it's – dude, I swam – I'm 6'4", swim out as far as I want to, and I can see everything. Like, on my feet, like, touching the water, it's the clearest water ever. I just go out there, drink for 3 days, and come back.
Nice.
There's nothing. Your cell phone doesn't work. It's like Canada. Sure. There's nothing.
Exactly. Flat.
It's not flat.
Until you get to BC.
There's dunes everywhere. Sand dunes. Michigan's weird, man. Michigan's a fucking... people that don't like Michigan have never been there. That's my opinion. Well, I'm from Ohio, so people in Ohio hate Michigan because of like college football. It's just like a thing that happens.
Yeah.
So, but they've never left the county, so it's like you can't hate a place if you've never been there, because it's way better pretty wise like geographically, but like the economy's dog shit in Michigan.
Well, once the car thing went right,
yeah. Oh yeah, once GM left, Flint died, Detroit died, the whole fucking state died. Like, their highways are barely operational.
Yeah, like,
and I have a lot of Michigan listeners, so I don't apologize, because I've been there a bunch, and fuck you. You need to start paying state taxes, you fucking idiots.
I was going to say, with Kid Rock, though, that was actually one of the best concerts I've ever been to with Kid Rock.
Dude, are you lying to me right now?
No, he was here, it was probably 5 years ago now, but it was funny, because I was always a Kid Rock fan. I liked him. And him and Uncle Cracker, I liked both of them. And it was my wife all of a sudden, oh, Kid Rock's coming, we should go. And I was like, yeah, because I'm not a real huge concert guy. And she's like, no. And she ended up just buying the tickets, and we went, and it was awesome. And like, no, it was like no one went. He had like 4,000 people here. The crowd was like brutal. But he played for like 2.5 hours, never left the stage. He was awesome.
But I liked Kid Rock when I was like in sixth grade. I was like, fuck yeah, this is my shit. And then in high school, I became like this metal elitist prick, like only like underground Norwegian fucking bullshit, and you know, being a musician, toot my own fucking horn. And then my older brother bought me tickets to go to Rock on the Range. It's like 3-day concert in Ohio, and Kid Rock is playing, closing out the whole fucking show. And I go, dude, I'm not watching him play. That's bullshit. He goes, I promise, dude, just watch it. It's killer. He comes on and mesmerizes me. And I've been a diehard Kid Rock non-apologist since then. I'm like, if you've never seen him live, you cannot say shit about Kid Rock.
Exactly.
Because he will change your fucking life live. He's so – and like you said, there's 4,000 people there. He probably played it like there's 400,000 people there.
Oh, yeah.
Did he play the drums and like the?
Yeah.
He's so good. And he's drinking whiskey on stage. Like, he's a fucking rock star, man.
Yeah. Well, he's a great. He played every instrument. And I'm not down with the rapper Kid Rock. Some of his stuff's okay, but I'm more of like, you know, when he's, because he's basically a country music artist now.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm really into
that shit. But I, like I said, like, my favorite band of all time is Kiss, right? So it's like, Kiss, I've seen them a whole bunch of times, but it was like, yeah, behind Kiss, I'd say Kid Rock. I've seen Metallica a bunch and Crew back in the heyday, because of course, like, hair metal, right? That was like right into high school. It was hair metal for me.
Oh yeah,
you know, and like right when we got to grade 12 when Nirvana hit and everybody became grunge and killed my hair metal boys, but I was like a hair metal freak, right? You know, Skid Row, Cinderella, all those bands, they were a Wasp and all that shit. They were, that was my shit, right?
My dude, this dude at work the other day was playing, I'm a wild child, come and love me.
Wild Wasp Live in the Raw, that's like still one of my favorite CDs ever.
And I started singing, he goes, how the fuck do you know who Wasp is? I'm like, dude, when I say I like heavy metal, like, I got into all of it, dude.
Oh, Mean Man, man, that's an awesome song.
We always thought, like, how can our band be good if we didn't know the dudes that were good before us? If that makes sense.
That's so funny you mentioned that, to go back to hockey or anything. That's what I was saying with, like, some of these guys, I was talking, who was that? It might have been Dan that I was talking, yeah, it was Dan that I was talking to, just, you know, privately, but it was like, you know, you listen to some of these guys when they're doing their podcasts and shit, and I know they're young and whatever, but they don't know shit from apple butter about anything that happened before 2002, you know, and it's like, come on, like, oh yeah, they know Gretzky or Lemieux, but it's like, know the history of the game and respect the history of the game. But they always put on this, oh, look at the goalies and the shits, and Crosby scored 300 points if he played back then. Yeah, okay, idiot.
I don't like that fucking fake analogy bullshit either. Like, put Sidney Crosby back then, guess what? Marty McSorley was cruising around too. Like, there's a...
He put a stick down his throat.
Yeah, there's a whole... The goalies might have been smaller, and the pads might have been bigger, and the whatever, but it's... You can't...
Well, the pads were tiny. It's like, yeah, put Grant Fuhr's pads on Fleury. Let's see how many goals they score. I mean, he'd be half the size.
If you look at Osgood, though, he was wearing a fucking size 900 sweater.
Well, they started to get bigger, but back when they were, like, in the 80s and shit, you look at those pads, they're tiny. And the goalies were always, like, really small. And I mean, well, of course everything's gotten better. It's evolution, dumb shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the athletes are always better.
It should get harder to score.
Well, and the players are obviously faster and better because they science behind them.
Yeah.
I mean, training camp back in the day was to get into shape.
Even Danny said... about Bob and them, they realize like 2 weeks out, like, oh shit,
yeah, better start doing some road work here.
Yeah, we've been fucking out on the boat all summer, and I'm not saying anything about Bob Probert
negative, but it's true. Yeah, I mean, but he didn't, you know, no one.
I mean, Reed tough guy. He was drinking Coca Colas all day.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like they were doing polymetrics and all this shit and VO testing and stuff. I mean, this is all new shit now. So, I mean, yeah, with the science behind them, obviously they can move faster and the equipment's half the weight and twice as big but half the weight.
Right.
You know, and all that stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, they just can go like missiles now. And the rules are different. I mean, you have no center ice now and everything else. It's like, well... And you can't hold anyone up and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, yeah, it's completely different. So don't give me this horse shit. Oh, if Crosby played, no, we were back then, he'd dominate. Well, you can't compare eras because it's completely different.
Right. Right. Just like you couldn't do. And if you ask, and it's always the same shit. You ask Wayne Gretzky, who's the best? Gordie Howe. You ask Sidney Crosby, who's the best? Wayne Gretzky. I mean, it's cyclical as fuck.
Yeah, so it always bugs me when you listen to these like younger guys, and it's like they don't respect the history. Like I said, you can, okay, you grew up with Crosby, and you know, okay, that's your era, whereas my era was the 80s, or you know, or whatever. But always respect the older guys. I mean, back like when I was 17 and 18, I was saying, "Oh, Gordie Howe couldn't play now; he'd get murdered." You know. I mean, every era says that, right? But then when you get older and you look back on it, it's like, well, okay, you realize how evolution, you know, so.
Now, isn't Gordie a Sask, dude?
Yeah, he's from Sask, dude. Yep. His statue is in front of the arena here. Yep.
He's got to be a god there. Have you ever read his book?
What's that?
Have you read his book?
No, well, he's got a few of them. Yeah, well, it was funny. I met him when he was older, and he was like he was actually like kind of a dick. So it was like it really soured me on him actually. But yeah, I've read one of his books. But I mean, I know all about him and shit, obviously, from being here. But Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, he's definitely the hero of Saskatoon. You know, but my hero was Wendell Clark, right? So, because he's from the farm in Kelvington. So that was our guy growing up. Whereas, like, with my dad's generation, it would have been Gordy. But, like, with ours, it was Wendell. He was our hero. So. I should just keep talking. Come on back, Biscuit. William, you're going to have a lot of editing to do on this episode.
Dude, I'm sorry. I had to pee again.
No, I know. Like I just said, you're going to have to edit a lot of shit out of this.
I really don't think I'm going to.
Eh, you probably should. This will kill your friggin'... No one's going to listen to 3 hours of us.
You'd be surprised.
You might have to do a two-parter, I think. But no, like, growing up, like, when my age group, it was Wendell, right? So...
Yeah. Well, that I wanted to say, my older brother's not a hockey fan, so last night I made him watch Wendell Clark's shit, and he's like, holy fuck, hockey's sweet. I'm like, yeah. You have to appreciate where the sport is from where it came from.
Yep.
And there's a certain amount of shit that made... I don't want to blame the guys that were too good at crushing people that why it's so soft now. But maybe it's just a soft mentality, I guess.
Well, that's what I always say. It's like completely different. Like I said, I yell and scream at these guys on Twitter and all these younger people, these new generation fans. It's not their fault. But I mean, and that's the thing. They can't grasp. They don't understand, like, they're like going to this Lindros thing. They don't understand how good he was. They can, like I said, you can go on YouTube and watch stuff. But unless you were in that moment, you don't understand it. Unless, like, or when Wendell Clark does something, or when Bob Probert did something. That's what I said the other night. You can sit there and cry to me all you want about how dirty Tom Wilson is. Well, that's Sunday in the park compared to Bob Probert and Wendell Clark. and that's true. Like,
and that's why I wanted to have you on specifically for Eric Lindros, because I know you would remember more about him than I would. Because what I remember about him is being a goal-scoring phenom, high draft pick guy. I like the narrative in America when he played, and when because I was like 9 years old, and so it was like you get your Eric Lindros card and he's really good in the video game, and then, you know, in Ohio you're lucky to see him play on TV 3 times a year. So like it wasn't. I wanted a better narrative to like of somebody that could remember. And I had watched more of his shit.
Oh yeah, no, he was it was like he played like Wendell, but he was way bigger. Because he hit like Wendell Clark for a couple years. Wendell Clark played like that, like he hit everybody. He was like a super ball, but then he was only 5'10" and 185.
Right, well, that's big.
No, and even back then, that's not big. And he just broke, but he was fighting 30 times a year too, you know. But he just broke down and got hurt. So it's like he really, after the first couple seasons, he really slowed down. And he still scored and would fight and hit and stuff, but nowhere, nothing like he did the first couple years he got to Toronto. Like in his rookie year in 85, it was ridiculous watching him play. It was just like all over the ice. He was just crazy. And then he would score, and then he would fight Bob Probert. And he'd score 2 goals. He'd score the winning goal and fight Probert. It was like, he was insane. But Lindros did the same thing, but he was bigger. And it was like, he just hit twice as hard. And it was like, he didn't fight like Wendell. Like, he wasn't the heavyweight fighter that Wendell, well, he was, but he wasn't. Like, obviously, Philadelphia didn't want him fighting like Wendell did. But,
right.
He fought McSorley and guys like that. But that was a different time. I mean, Philadelphia also had like Berube and Dave Brown and shit at the time. Well, why are they there? They're not going to let Lindros fight. So they fought. And he was, but it was, I can't, unless you were there, I can't describe Lindros to you. And to this day, I still haven't, and it's not like I'm trying to say, oh, back in the day, you know.
No, it's apparent.
But there still isn't anybody to this day. Like, I guess everybody, like when they talk about power forwards now, and that was my debate with that guy, they bring, oh, Ovechkin or Jamie Benn or guys like
Wayne
that.
Wayne Simmons.
But I'm not knocking those guys, but it's like they don't fight.
No.
Well, so then you're not a power forward.
Well, and you're not throwing power like Lindros did. Ovechkin might hit a dude twice a year. Lindros will do it four times a game.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is and Ovechkin's going to fight. Like, Ovechkin can't fight his way out of a wet paper bag. I always laugh. Everybody in, it's like that Washington-Pittsburgh thing, and they all go on about what a bitch Crosby is. I'm like, well, I think he's got a bunch more fights than Ovechkin does.
Yeah, Sidney might.
Oh, Crosby would do Ovechkin up like a bag of sticks if they dropped their gloves.
Sidney knows how popular he is. I think he would fight more if he didn't think he was going to be the next Wayne Gretzky. I really do. I think Sidney is mad all the time.
Well, yeah, because all those times Pittsburgh's never had anyone to protect him, so he just gets abused constantly. So that's why he's so friggin' dirty.
Yeah, Sidney's one of the dirtiest dudes in the league.
Yeah, well, he's had to be because he's had to stick up for himself because Pittsburgh never had anybody.
And that's a competitive thing, too. You think Michael Jordan was clean? No. If he could do it and get away, if my old football coach used to tell me, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Exactly.
And
that goes back to that mentality I was talking about. And people, this new age mentality is like they try to take youth athletics and put that mindset into professional sports.
No,
like,
and Southpaw, there's a huge difference from being in sixth grade and playing hockey or baseball, and then even 2 years later when you're in eighth grade. And then think about 4 years later when you're a senior. There's the gaps between those, how much kids grow and learn and can change. Like, you can't, and then professional athletes, come on. There's.
Well, it isn't the players, it's the people around it. Like the parents or the media or whatever,
right?
That's the one pushing this agenda, and it's like, yeah, no, they just like I said, it's this peewee mentality. And it's like, oh, you can't be mean and don't be this and don't do that, and you know, like the one guy was saying to me, it's like, oh, some new parents here, because we have a whole new demographic watching because of Las Vegas. If they see that Tom Wilson hit, they're not going to put their kid in hockey. So you're really killing the sport, not growing it.
Nah, well, we don't need your fucking pussy-ass Peter plan.
Well, and I'm like, oh, if you're that ignorant that you take one little episode out of an entire season, you know. Like, no, you should take your kid and go watch the local youth. Because that's what he's going to be playing.
You're comparing
your kid to a professional athlete.
Yeah, and then think about what your kid could be doing. I just left a job at a steel mill, right? And a dude got his arm stuck in the fucking thing that was making steel and peeled the skin off his arm. You think that's happened to anybody in the NHL? And guess what? That dude didn't make any money ever. So yep. There's a high risk, high reward is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And if you can play hockey for a living, do it. And if it's always the same, you know, I don't like things being taken out of hockey. I think if you're taking things out of hockey, you're literally taking things out of hockey. You're making the sport less than. And we're not talking about, you know, the pigeon days when there was dudes. But I didn't hate that either, but there's a happy medium. You get rid of instigator rule. You let violence happen the way it's going to happen. These guys are essentially fighting bare knuckle. You can't punch somebody that hard with your bare fist. Because you're either going to break your hand and you're not going to play. Or you're going to knock the dude out. I mean, like, it's like MMA when they say, is it safer for the guys to wear gloves in a fight? Probably not. And there's guys that are, there's, I mean, that's a lawsuit right now. In MMA, where they're trying to get bare knuckle back, because you can't throw your punches hard at somebody if you have your bare fist. It just can't happen the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, completely. Well, in hockey added the element of you're on inch thick blades.
Right, and you're on ice, and you're on blades, and
yeah,
and it turns into
The thing is with hockey, with this, with the mindset, it's not the players that have done this; it's the vocal minority that's done this.
But how did they get so strong?
Well, because those are the people that are in power. The people in power that are running Hockey Canada, well, they want to look good because it's political. Oh, so if we go and talk about head trauma and eliminate fighting, because that's what causes everything, apparently. Oh, but look how progressive we are. Look what we're doing. See what we're doing? We're cleaning it up. Well, no, you're not. You've made it dirtier. But you tell someone, you tell the layperson that fighting cleans up hockey, well, they look at you like you're an idiot. But it does. But they don't understand the culture of the game. So, but you have people in positions of power that they allow the media to control them. So you have your James Myrtles or your Damian Cox or Ken Campbell at the Hockey News. So there you go, the Hockey News.
That's a group of guys there. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but every... Or he will shit on fighting or anything physical and write in articles like, why is Michael Limpus in the league and blah, blah, blah. And James Myrtle will write about all these junior players that are affected and blah, and on and on. And they go on and on. So there you go. But meanwhile, it's not it's not the fan. Because every poll that's ever been done by any fan poll,
ever.
It's always pro-fight.
Ever.
It's not the players, because you ask them, they all want it. So it's not it's the vocal minority.
I see this shit
that is controlling hockey.
I see this shit in Ohio hard, because in Ohio they don't follow themselves. They follow what they're being told from ESPN or TSN. So they all think like Tom Wilson's hit on Marchessault was due for imprisonment. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And you look at people that have like the biggest sports radio. Or the biggest, like you look at the Mark Maddens or the Jim Rohns or whatever. Like, so you have Jim Rohn, who created this whole thing of basically being just a douchebag to athletes and talking shit about them. And he created a whole generation. So now you have all these people with podcasts, or, I mean, some podcasts, you listen to them. Well, they act like they're the GMs of the team. And it, like I said, it's always fine to have your opinion. You think this guy's better than that guy. That's fine. But they'll go on about what a piece of shit this guy is.
Yeah,
and this guy sucks. And why is he even playing hockey?
Yeah.
You know, blah, he's a dumpster fire. But then you'll have national sports radio guys talking like that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, but that's the thing. And so they have a whole listening audience listening. And it's like, well, Dan Patrick said, I don't want to say, but you know what I'm saying. Jim Rome or whoever said, well, this guy's a piece of shit, so he must be. And they just indoctrinate this entire people list, these idiots that have never followed it. Or like I said, these podcasts, so you've raised a generation. And like I said, with social media,
I'm guilty of it earlier on in my podcast. Like, I would call people pieces of shit. And then I started realizing, like, especially after conversations with you, you know, because I talk to you every couple of days when I'm not on a bender. But, like, I was like, man, who the fuck am I to say, because I'm on a podcast, that this professional athlete's a piece of shit? So I always refrain and kind of, maybe I will say I don't like his game is the kind of way that I try to approach it.
Or, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's not a piece of shit. And this dumpster fire fucking, like...
But like I said the other day, like there was a guy that he's a TSN radio out in Vancouver. He's a TSN analyst. I don't know for what, some hockey, whatever, Sportsnet West or whatever. Well, somebody was talking about Vancouver or Las Vegas's defense. It was right for the playoffs. And I don't know who the player, it might have been Lucas Spezza or something.
Spezza.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. But the guy's played like 500 NHL games. Like, he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Well, this dork goes on. He goes, well, at the end of the day, he just isn't a good hockey player. That shouldn't be in the league.
Oh, fuck, dude.
And it's like, who are you? Like, first of all, but you're supposed to be a professional. Like, show some professionalism. Instead, you talk like some Twitter troll with 14 followers would say shit like that. But no, you're a guy with, he has 100,000 followers, and he's typing this shit. Well, so now, like I said, no one has any original thoughts. Like, these guys that attack, like, I get shit on Twitter all the time, get shit talked. It's literally like these guys have cut and pasted the hockey news articles from Ken Campbell when they're fighting with you. Well, I guess you like brain damage. Oh, do I? Is that what I'm doing? Like, oh, well, that's because they're fighting in headshots. Like, you can get concussions without getting hit in the head.
Well, yeah, no. the science is what more so a shot in the gut will give you a concussion more so than straight in the head.
Well, it's the sudden stop, right? That's what causes the concussion.
Yeah. The whiplash of the skull is going to give it to you more so.
Yeah, but the fighting is the easiest thing to go after, right?
Because it looks bad.
Yeah, it's the most visual. Of course, and I understand that. But don't, like, give me, but they talk like anybody who's ever fought, wow, they got CTE now. Well, it's not really.
Why are you listening to fucking Spittin' Chiclets with Paul Bessonette if you're just listening to some dude talk about, you know, he's got CTE, everything he's saying is fucking bullshit then. You know, it's all bullshit.
But then it's like, they go on, well, look at this guy's brain damage. He donated his brain, he had damage, this guy had damage, this guy had damage. Well, it's like, yeah, but then Todd Ewan didn't.
Yeah.
And he had 300 fights. He didn't have anything wrong with him.
There's also this thing where no human is the same as the other human.
No, and that's the point of the science, which they've also, the doctors have said that. Like, well, we can't definitively say everyone has had it.
No.
I've had four, five. So do I have it? I don't know.
I'm certain that I have it, but I can't prove it.
There's times, like, all of a sudden I'll start, like, I forget shit that I think I should remember.
Because, like,
or I don't remember stuff, and it's like, well, is that just because I'm getting older, or... Because you never know.
And I've suffered from seizures ever since I was 19. And they just started happening when I was 19 for all of a sudden, for whatever reason. And I was just like, God, it's got to be from my fucking brain, man. Just the bullshit I put it through. And high school football in Ohio is so fucking crazy dangerous. Like, I remember nights when my older brother was a freshman and he would play scout quarterback, and they would just let him get murdered, and we'd have to make sure he stayed awake all night long. And that was okay. Yep. That was okay with my mom, to be like, hey, make sure Brennan wakes up every 3 hours. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? For high school football? And what, he ended up playing like Division III college basketball, whoop-de-whoop, didn't even graduate from college. So it's like, what's the fucking... But that's the separation, though, too, Southpaw, is that there's a point where you have to realize, are you going to do this professionally?
Yep.
Or are you playing high school football?
Yep.
Or high school hockey or high school soccer, whatever you're playing. There is a line. And then you also know by your talent, too.
Well, I think that's what's going with junior hockey right now. I think that's the big discussion that's happening in junior. Because it's like, okay, if you're gonna, are you gonna go on and play pro, or are you gonna be done at junior?
Because you can't fight in juniors anymore.
No, you can, but they're slowly getting. When the OHL is pretty much gone, but in the Western League you can. There's no rule.
The Dub, you still can. The West, Ontario, it's like what, five fights and you're eliminated.
Three. Yeah, and the Quebec League's like six, I think. And then the Western League doesn't have anything.
So I'm getting kicked
out. But it's not like guys are putting up 40 fights and shit anymore.
So I'm getting kicked out the first week.
Eh?
Fuck yeah, I am.
What's that?
I said, I'm getting kicked out the first week of OHL hockey then.
Well, pretty much. Well, I mean, those guys aren't even around anymore. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. But it would be very hard. You'd have to definitely, like... Well, see, now you've put players at risk now, because everybody on that other team will know when a guy's at two fights.
Right.
So they're gonna, if they go and hit the goalie or hit a smaller guy, what's he supposed to do? He has to just stand there, because it's like, well, if I fight the third time, I'm suspended now. So now you put him at risk. Because normally you have to be able to just react right away. You can't sit and think about it. But you've put him in a position where, what, is he going to look at the bench to see if he gets the go sign? Because it's like, well, if I fight again, we're suspended and the team gets fined and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So, I mean, but this is the big divide with Junior and Hockey Canada, you know, and insurance companies and everything.
Southpaw, we're at 3.5.
Yeah.
We're going to have to call it.
I'm losing my voice.
Yeah. I know. What the fuck? You turned into goddamn...
James Earl Jones?
Yeah. Whoa, dude. I was going to say, somebody feed you after midnight, fucking turn into a gremlin on me.
There you go.
Hey. Yeah. Dude, it's always a pleasure to have you on, man. I really, truly can't thank you enough, especially, you know, the show, you're my download champ, biggest show I've ever had, getting a thousand followers stays a big milestone. It seems petty because it's on Twitter, but it means a lot to me and my friendship.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, I truly cherish my friendship with you, man, and I know I've never had the pleasure of meeting you in person, but I always enjoy my conversations with you and appreciate the interaction we've always had. And this is easily as longest podcast I've ever done, and I'm not breaking.
This is the longest podcast I think anyone's ever done. You went from the shittiest one. This will be the longest one.
What's crazy? It's going to be fucking titled Eric Lindros Rafter Special. That's going to be the worst part of it.
Yeah, for in brackets for 38 minutes.
Hey, let's tease the tournament, and then we also have something else we can tease. We can't say too much about, but we can talk a little bit about it, I think, because at this point, I'm not sure anybody's listening.
No.
But Bob Probert's coming.
Yeah, the Bob Probert 2.0 second annual. It'll definitely be coming up here probably a week or two after the playoffs are over. And it'll be 64 guys in the elimination tournament. And, you know, we have a bunch of regulars coming back because, I mean, there's only so many people, right?
Right.
But, you know, we got about, what did I say, I think 34 returnees and 30 new guys.
They're all NHLers.
Yeah, it'll be all NHL players, and we've got a few current guys. I think probably put Reeves and Wilson in it and shit. I guess why not?
Put Reeves in for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I put that poll out asking people if I should put current.
Is Chris Stewart in?
Yes. No,
I wouldn't mind seeing Chris Stewart in maybe next year. He kind of went soft this year.
I'm looking at the list. Who do I have for current guys? Oh, Reeves and Lucic, the only two.
I think Lucic is too old to fight now.
Yeah, I don't know about Lucic. Maybe just be Reeves. Cassian? I might put Wilson in just to piss people off.
We'll Cassian?
Yeah, no. Nah, it's always hard, right? Because I'm looking and it's like Twist, Colt Moore, Joey Koser.
Is Haley in?
No. Hey, there's a guy.
Michael Haley should. If you won the Domi, the fourth line voice, that's biscuit true. History of Hockey Podcast Award. I think Michael Haley should have a spot. So take somebody out and put Michael Haley in.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, Haley will be in. Good. Hey, did you see that fight I put up with him and Keith today?
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Holy
shit. Adam Keith was great, too.
Yeah.
He's a Belfast Giants coach now.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been in Belfast forever. He played for the Giants forever, and he started coaching there last year. Well, he's a hero over there.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the next thing. We, as in we, I mean myself, the biscuit, fourth line voice, Southpaw buddy, all beard and no teeth, and what's the other one? Buried Thread?
Oh, now I feel bad because it's a t-shirt company.
Yeah, I don't get any free t-shirts, so I don't feel too bad.
No, or what? Oh, what? I don't know. I'm not knocking you, buddy, but I don't know who you are.
I'm not knocking you either, but I think it's Buried Thread or Buried Puck or something. I don't know. There's some other things coming, basically covering the whole globe in all reality. But Southpaw, man, I love you, dude. Thank you. Go fucking take some fucking, what are those things called? Lozenges.
There you go.
Ricola.
Ricola. Yeah, it is Barry Puck Threads is the other guy. Hockey apparel for hockey fans.
Hey.
And they have a podcast as well.
Oh, they do. Well, don't listen to their podcast. Listen to this one.
Well, you can listen to both, but you can this one you're going to have to listen to over the course of a week. And Big Ran, I know you're listening. We still got heat. I'm telling you. Dude, one of these days, we're going to have a showdown
on the air. The heat's almost monumental now.
Yeah.
It's almost got to be a fucking meet in Las Vegas fist fight.
Right on the strip. Yeah. Right in front of the Bellagio fountain. We'll get it done.
Hey, get off this. Give me a drunk hockey card and have a good night, bud.
You too, man. Take it easy.
All right. Love you, bud.
Take it easy. I love you.
Bye. How many bucks do I give?